without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Tonight. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow made.
In this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, my toll-free long-distance my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Oh, my goodness gracious. We have a whole lot of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Huh. How you doing out there? I just gotta ask that. How are you doing out there? Because I'm trying to figure out how you're doing. I'm trying to figure out how you're doing with gas prices. I'm trying to figure out how you're doing. How are you doing with healthcare? How your babies out there? Everybody feels safe and sound. Those of you that are in financial trouble, you feel like the Chicago Tribune had a couple of Sundays ago had an article about all of the people that are defaulting on their loans, their home loans. The job market took a big plunge. yesterday. I mean, over that last week. So I'm just wondering how you're doing out there, because the quality of your life is directly related to what the political, the power of the politics of your community. Ask Exxon how they feel the political system works in the United States. I think they would all give it two oily thumbs up. Ask Walmart how they believe politics, the state of the political, state of politics in the United States. How you think they would give it two uninsured thumbs up? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they would say it's all good. They would say it's all good. And so when you ask the average person out there, their consumer confidence is really, really, really bad because things are not going well. But have no fear. Underdog is here. George W. Bush has felt your pain, baby. I guess he's had a lot more time to reflect upon it since Laura's living in the hotel. That's right, George W. Bush feels your pain. Because you know what Congress is going to take up in the next couple of weeks? A constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. Whew, thank you, Lord. It's about time y'all worked on something that wouldn't, if you were able to get the two-thirds votes in Congress and in the Senate. You still would have to get the two-thirds votes of the American citizens. So we're talking about years from now. Good thing. That's what they call advanced planning. And advanced planning. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Something. George W. Bush urged the Senate to pass a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. The Senate plans to debate a proposed amendment against gay marriage. Marriage is the... Well, you know what? I'm sorry. I am not being fair or reasonable. I guess marriage has been on Boy George's mind a lot these last few weeks. Rumor has it, word on the street has it, that Laura Bush is, let's just say, spending the night at a hotel room by the name of the Mayflower because she's mad at George. So I guess marriage has been on his mind, and maybe this, in his confusion or illiteracy, I don't know. He's confused a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. Because he said, marriage is the most enduring and important institution. So how's that marriage thing working out for you? Honored and encouraged in all cultures and by every religious faith. Ages of experience have taught us that the commitment of a husband and wife to love and serve one another promotes the welfare of children and the stability of society. A constitutional amendment was needed to keep activist judges from overturning efforts by some state legislators to ban gay marriage. Shut up. You're not trying to do anything significant. When the issues are not what you want them to be, don't talk about them. I don't want to talk about the war. I don't want to talk about the billions of dollars I've committed to this war forever and ever and ever again. Amen. I don't want to talk about the fact that I'm losing the war. I don't want to talk about the fact that consumer confidence has never been worse. I don't want to talk about the fact that Americans don't like me because of the lousy job that I'm doing. I don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about stuff that my conservative base, who's mad at me too, wants to hear me. They want to hear me rattle the cage. They want to hear me bray at the moon. They want me to talk this stuff, and I, given the state of my marriage, I'm all for talking about the power of marriage, baby, 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 please. I am. And have no fear that after the debate on same-sex marriage has given enough red meat to his conservative base, give these politicians an opportunity to go out there and sound like they're talking about something that means something. Well, it's political red meat, baby. After they're finished with chewing up, swallowing down the red meat of anti-gay stuff, then they're going to move on to the other issue that's going to impact your life and fill your pocketbook and determine the quality of your own life. Flag burning. Can you believe this? These fools are talking about, they're going to be talking about flag burning. And guess who's going to be leading the charge? Hillary Clinton. She put together a anti-flag burning piece of legislation. Yes, indeedy dandy. It's good. That's good. It's all good. Let's talk about the issues that matter. When was the last time that George W. Bush spoke about gay same-sex marriages? Oh, yeah, back in 2004 when he was running for re-election. No, running to be elected. And the issue's appearance on local ballots helped turn out Republican supporters in key states. And some conservatives complain that he's done little more than talk about it. Well, hello. He was only using you for your vote. Laura said she did not think the gay marriage issue should be used to score political points in an election year. I don't think it should be used as a campaign tool, obviously. Then, sweetie, why don't we talk about it, let's say, after November? If you notice, George Bush is bringing Laura out more and more. Because apparently he's convinced that America would rather see her than him, or they've told him. Now, I was shown a huge front page story on one of the tabloid papers, Star Magazine or one of those. George W. Bush marriage in trouble. You know, 10 years ago, I would have been uncomfortable with a story that I did ending up on the front page of Star Magazine. But that was before Men in Black. When they said the best tips in the world come from the tabloids. And secondly, it is, those papers are reporting some stuff that other papers aren't. I'm not gonna cite them as a source, but I'm not as concerned about it as I would have been 10 years ago. Trouble in political paradise, right? Laura Bush supposedly moved out of the house, living in the Mayflower Hotel. At least that's what they say. Her Secret Service men are located at times where Laura should be at home. She's mad about some relationship that George is having with some body that works for the government. Not an intern. Someone that works for the government. I wonder who that could be. 454-0400 is my phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. We're going to have really some good stuff on the show this week. We're going to get Elin Harris is going to be with us. How cool is that? Elin Harris is going to join us on Thursday. On Wednesday. Elin Harris will be here to talk about his new book, I Say a Little Prayer. Y'all know Elin Harris. You don't want to miss that interview. Also, we're going to be talking about this morning, we're going to be talking about why the Cuban policy of Bush's is such a failure. We're also going to be talking about, later on in the week, we're going to be talking about how the EPA is, I guess apparently it wasn't enough to be able to test pregnant women with chemicals. Pesticide companies want to be able to do more, huh? And we're going to also talk about the slaughter at Haditha, the connection between, that's going to be on Wednesday. So Wednesday's going to be a full day, St. Louis School Watch, slaughter at Haditha, and Elin Harris on his book, I Say a Little Prayer. That's going to be one of the books that we give away this week on our Liz Brown Because We Care packages. And, of course, Friday, Looking Black with Lynn Washington. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get up. Get to me. And, vote of no confidence by the St. Louis teachers. What? We're going to be talking about that after the break. But vote of no confidence. Well, well, sookie, sookie, my, my, my. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. You're on the wake-up call. You're on the wake-up call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. And don't forget, the show is broadcast, archived at whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. Also, don't forget, please put it on your calendar this Saturday at 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor. The Urban Institute, Saturday Morning Urban Institute. We will be meeting Irene J. Smith and myself once again. I thank you all for coming out to the last weekend, and it's just going to get more and more and more and more and more. We're going to be doing more and more and more things. This week we're going to be talking about charter schools. We're going to be talking about the voter ID bill, and we're going to be talking about eminent domain, and also, most importantly, the Team 4 plan that has led up to all of these issues confronting our community. You don't want to miss this discussion. That's Saturday morning at 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor, right off of Del Mar. You need to put it on your calendar and join us Saturday morning from 9 to 11. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. Dan.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm outstanding.
Great. Yeah, I saw that report about Laura Bush also.
Where'd you see it?
Yeah, I saw it on the Wade Manson report on the Internet.
Okay.
And apparently she came into contact with George Bush and Condoleezza Rice.
Condoleezza Rice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was very interesting because you always see her with him everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's sort of a gossipy matter. But I just wanted to...
Yes and no, Dan. I think it is a gossipy matter, but it also is... One of the issues that George W. Bush pushed when he ran for office was that his administration would be the most moral, would be the most responsible administration after Bill Clinton and the blue dress, right?
Oh, you're
so,
absolutely.
So we've seen all of the corruption, the culture of corruption of the party, the deficit, and all of the dukesters out there. And now we see on a fundamental level that there's a question of his own ability to be what he claimed we needed to be.
I agree with you, absolutely, 100%. And this is just, like you said, just one indicator of what this whole mess is all about. And all of our young men and women over there in Iraq, being sent over there for the second and third tours, which last about a year, you can imagine how they crack up and kill people. Because, you know, a Marine and our Army infantry soldier is trained to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And after all of this, we can't really blame them. We have to really blame the people that send those young kids, 19, 20-year-olds, over there.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, look at our economy. Look at our country today. What is it? I'm an old man now, but I guess I was more idealistic when I was in my 20s, in the 60s. But now, I just can't say that we have a good country anymore. We're not helping our poor people. We're not helping the people that have built this country, that have worked hard all their lives. So I'm really sort of... I'm not sort of. I am very disappointed with everything that's going on. And I hope some way, somehow, we can find somebody that can give everybody, black, white, Hispanic, a good break and a good job. And
that's going to
live in peace.
Okay. Thanks for your thoughts,
Dan.
We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is a wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with me.
St. Louis, 33 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Midas. Northbound 270 between Doherty Ferry, look for an animal struck, reportedly to be a deer. It's in the right lane at northbound 270 between Doherty Ferry. Southbound 270 between Ladue and 40, look for a disabled truck. Left center lane is blocked. 44 on either side of 109. Traffic's been switched to the eastbound lanes. Just use caution there. Eastbound 44 from Bold to 270 looks good. Northbound 270 at 44. Traffic is starting to stack up a bit. Westbound 270 at 367 all the way into 170. Look for some slow delays there as well. Northbound 55 between Richardson and 270 is on the move. Eastbound 70 from Cave Springs all the way into the Blanchard Bridge looks good. And all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are starting to slow down a bit. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas Touch. What's the most important safety feature on your car? Midas believes it's the person who's doing your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to just anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas Touch. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Partly cloudy today, high in the mid-80s. This evening, partly cloudy, 30% chance of showers, a low in the lower 60s. Tuesday, partly sunny in the morning, chance of clouds in the afternoon, and a possible storm with a high around 80. And Wednesday, pretty much the same, partly sunny in the morning, chance of afternoon thunder showers with a high in the lower 80s. Currently, we have 60 degrees under clear skies at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time. time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, this is Lethea Owens with a personal invitation to join me for Motivational Mondays, where your dreams become reality. Part of Women Inspiring Women every Monday afternoon on AM 920 WGNU. I believe when you follow your purpose, you have no choice but to be phenomenally successful, because all of the resources and opportunities you need become attracted to you. So join me, Lethea Owens, for Motivational Mondays, part of Women Inspiring Women, every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Professor Stephen Yates of the University of South Carolina is our guest Tuesday morning at 7. He recently wrote a disturbing dissertation on a plan the Bush administration is pushing to merge Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. into a single regional government, or a Western version of the European Union. It would create a huge free trade zone that would allow goods and people to move freely across borders, effectively doing away with domestic citizenship. How would such different political systems work as one entity? Some points to ponder Tuesday morning at 7 with Professor Stephen Yates, right here on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That is my phone number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Joan.
Hi, Liz.
Good morning.
This is the first time. I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome to the show.
And I sent off for that report for African ancestry.
Okay.
And on my mother's side. Hello?
Yeah.
And I found out that she was from Nigeria.
Okay.
And the tribes were Yoruba and Fulani.
Okay.
And so I'm very happy about that. I heard about it on your show, went on and did it, and I'm glad to know where we're really from.
Excellent. Isn't it a wonderful thing?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake-Up Call.
Yes, Liz, CNN put out a poll that 38% rate Bush as the worst president, 32% rate him as the second worst, equaled only by Nixon. So that 70% rating him as one of the two worst, and frankly, I think that's an insult to Richard Nixon. But what should be done is the Electoral College should be done away with. We are the only country on earth. The people were right in 2000. They gave Gore a popular vote majority of 543,000. It is catastrophic when the man rejected by his own people is given the power, and we are reaping the whirlwind of that insane process.
All right.
Thank you very much, Liz.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
The top of the morning to you, Dr. Brown.
D.
Thank you so much for the introduction of the Urban Institute, you and Dr. Irene J. Smith.
Wasn't it great?
It was really quite nice. I got insight into Maida Coleman much better.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, she's really good, and Senator Bass. Thank you so much. We'll look forward to the next one.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And for those of you that are listening out there to listening for the dates for the next Urban Institute, this coming Saturday from 9 to 11 at 1020 North Taylor, that's a Firefighters Hall. Come on down. The discussion is going to be the Team 4 plan. It's a plan that was put in place by the city of St. Louis. They said that they took it off the table, but we're going to discuss through the charter schools, through the eminent domain, and the voter ID bill, why this plan has been put into place. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And let me get this straight. The union representing the St. Louis Public Schools teachers on Sunday issued a vote of no confidence in the district administration. 600 union members voted unanimously. The vote took place at an emergency meeting. The teachers, result of the notification of 1,000 teachers that they will have to reapply for their jobs. You know what the teachers need? You know what the teachers need? Let me tell you what they need. And I got this from Irene J. Smith. We were talking about this. You know what they need? They need an expert, their own expert, on No Child Left Behind. You're letting the enemy, you're letting the incompetent, you're letting the guy that doesn't have any experience at all determine and decide what No Child Left Behind means. You need your spokesperson on No Child Left Behind, because Greg Williams lies. Mr. $25,000 a month lies. Lies almost every time he opens his mouth. And if you're letting him articulate and decide what the definitions of, what the expectations are, what the requirements of No Child Left Behind are, you're going to continue to be in the position that you're in right now. You need, the teachers union needs, their own spokesperson on No Child Left Behind and your own expert on No Child Left Behind to confront the dishonesty and the incorrect assessment. Well, you know, this guy's never been a superintendent anywhere. He doesn't even know how to be a superintendent, let alone interpret what No Child Left Behind means. Y'all need to get your own people. Y'all need to get your own people. Craig Williams said, we could have dismissed all of those teachers. Well, you did. You fired 1,000 of them. You did. Veronica O'Brien said she will lead an effort to address the union's concern over reorganization. She wants more details about why teachers have lost faith in their leadership. Huh? And she's in favor of reorganizing the underperforming schools. What does that mean? What does that mean? I understand that that's an assessment of what she, a conclusion about what she said, but what does that mean? Some of the things that the teachers also voted for, no confidence in Vince Schemel, And he's on the school's pension board. Why is he still on the pension board when he's no longer a member of the school board? He should be off. The top, the policy statements for the violation of membership issues, the unjust hiring, firing procedures, and the reconstitution and restructuring of the 13 schools, continued failure to pay professionals for extra time worked, stalling tactics to prevent salary schedules and job analysis questionnaires, lack of accountability for continued payroll mistakes. You hire this guy and give him reins of the district, and what do? They can't even get the books right to pay people. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
It's not the big moon that excites me. The thrills and delights me. Oh, no. Yes. Just an earnest.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline New York. A report in the New York Times this weekend says commanders in the Marine Corps knew that the two dozen civilians who were killed last November in the town of Haditha had died by gunfire and not by a roadside bomb, as was initially reported. But the commanders there felt there was nothing unusual about the deaths, and they saw no purpose to think the civilians had been killed on purpose. Still, another senior Marine general who asked to remain anonymous says there is no way the commanders there could not have known what really happened. An inquiry into what happened has been opened to find out just how high up the chain of command any possible conspiracy goes to. It is alleged that a Marine company took revenge on innocent civilians after one of their fellow Marines was killed by a roadside bomb while on patrol in Haditha last November. And Dateline Lexington. Last week, the state of Kentucky opened hearings into the deaths of five miners who were killed in an explosion at a Harlan County mine on May 20th. But over a dozen members of the dead miners' families were not allowed to attend and ask any questions because authorities wanted the executives from the mining company who were on the witness stand to be comfortable so that they might be more honest about their answers. A sixth miner who was seriously injured but did survive told reporters that the breathing devices that were provided by the company failed to work. The deaths of three of the five men were a result of methane gas poisoning when their air ran out. The lone survivor of the Sago, West Virginia disaster back in January, Randall McCloy, also told investigators that several breathing devices in that episode had also failed. During last week's hearings, mine officials were allowed to have attorneys with them, although the miners' families were not allowed to be there. A news report has indicated that blocks made of concrete and fiber used to seal off poison gas from sections of the mine were shoddily made, and many were already broken when they were installed months ago. This is your wake-up call Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hello, this is Alfred Gurley, your host of the German Hit Parade radio program. Heard every Sunday afternoon from 2:30 till 4 here on WGNU. Enjoy the beautiful melodies and timely news from Germany as we make your Sunday afternoon just a little bit brighter. The German Hit Parade is the longest-running German program on radio in St. Louis, and I hope you make it part of your weekend listening every Sunday afternoon from 2:30 till 4, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Explore the relationship humans have with oceans, rivers, and streams at the St. Louis Zoo on Saturday from 4 to 7 p.m. Learn how to play a part in conserving this precious resource. Admission is free. To find out more, call 314-781-0900 or visit stlzoo.org. News to you from WGNU.
Just like a well-built house needs a good design and plan, so do our lives. This is Sandy.
And this is Bobby.
Two life coaches. Please join us as we take your questions about designing your life. We'll discuss life planning, following through, and the obstacles that get in the way.
This is your weekly chance to get some answers you've been looking for. We hope you'll join us on The Design Life on WGNU every Monday afternoon from 4 to 5.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Turn on the television. I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's round, but we got to keep your head up.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. Please don't forget that Elin Harris is going to be joining us on Wednesday at 9 a.m. to talk about his new book, I Say a Little Prayer. You don't want to miss that. And we're also going to have a researcher for the Human Rights Watch to talk about Haditha. Also on Wednesday at 8 a.m. Oh, my goodness, it's going to be a full week. We have a caller from New Jersey here. Victor, good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm just making the assumption that you know who that person is that Bush was supposedly having the affair with, but you can't say it, so I'll say it.
Well, no, I can say it. Go ahead, you say it.
Well, from what I've read and from what I've read from all the stories I've read, it's Condoleezza Rice.
You mean the woman that called Bush her husband?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That is the person that he is having an affair with. And they also have people who work at the Mayflower who have also verified that she is staying at the Mayflower Hotel.
For those of us that have had our eye on this from the beginning, Victor, it comes as no surprise, does it?
No, I mean, there's so much that you can say, but, I know you can't because it's just baffling and it'll give you a headache like it's given me. So they tried to really squash this story. And I tell you like this, I found out about it last week. I know it's been going on for a while, but there's just so much stuff out there. But the whole thing was like they tried to squash it, but it's just bubbling up.
Well, and it's bubbling up, Victor. As one of the reasons why this story is percolating right now, because his numbers are so poor. The reason why it's percolating up right now, it's because people are so disenchanted because of the things that are going on in their lives. They're disenchanted with the Armilai incident, with the Haditha. They are upset about gasoline prices. They're seeing the greed. They're seeing the corruption. They're seeing the incompetence. So now they can start to see him for what he is.
Well, that's true. That's true. And I believe the Haditha incident was one of the things that really, kind of shadowed that story. Because, Jeb Bush, there was also that report that Jeb Bush was having an affair with Katherine Harris. And that was squashed.
You?
Years ago.
You? Oh,
well,
and here's the other piece. If my friend and I were talking over the weekend, and I think all of us have had life experiences where you've been around people that, and let's just do it gender here. You've been around some woman that's messing around with some married man. Most of the time, the women are very, very discreet. It takes a bold woman to refer a bold single woman who's never used the word husband before because she's never been married before. It takes a bold woman with cojones to say my husband in front of the whole world. That's some tough stuff. That's some mamma jamma stuff. This woman ain't scared of nothing. That's some bold stuff. If that's not in your face of the wife, I don't know what is. She called this man her husband in front of the world and wasn't shamed about it, laughed about it.
Nope, not at all.
That's some bold stuff.
Well, I guess I'm breaking down because I'm listening to you on my smartphone and I'm going through the George Washington Bridge.
Okay, well, thank you, Victor.
I will call you later.
All right, Victor. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-66. See, East Coast, West Coast, all over the world, folks are getting this. Folks are getting this. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. At 8 a.m., we're going to have Dr. Stephen Yates. He's a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy, and he's going to talk to us about why the Cuban policy is not working. Why Bush's Cuban policy is not working. Otis, good morning.
Yes, I just wanted to tell you that just like the regular school system has been so broken, boy, the summer school program has crashed.
Tell me about it.
I have four children.
Right.
Usually will attend summer school, some of them just to get the edge on the regular program. This time there's no such program for them. And the one kid of mine who needs to go to summer school, who is compulsory to have go to summer school, they can't get them staffed. They can't get the class staffed so that he can go. And
wait a minute, Otis, let's slow down just for a second. Now, walk us through this. When does summer school start?
Now, summer school they'll start it with us getting letters so that it could start this week, today.
Okay, so how do you know that the school has not gotten staffed yet?
Because they've told me. You know, they are teachers from Ames. My kids go to Ames School.
Okay.
And the secretary is, I've been calling saying I need information on where my son is supposed to go, and then what time. And she said, well, we're waiting to get it staffed, and we'll get you a letter. Well, no such letter has come. Today is the day. I'm up early right now trying to get through this fog, but I've heard that they're not staffing. The reason my other children can't go, they can't get enough teachers to.
Another failure of Craig's, $25,000 a month.
Another failure. It is gone. I mean, if you.
And let me ask you this, Oz. Let me ask you this. When did you get notice that there was going to be a mandatory summer school for you for one of your children? When did you get notice?
I got it from the school itself. My kid, who is in sixth grade, he performs weak during the regular system, but then on test he scores A's. You know, he's really great. But because of that, his report card dictates that he needs to go to summer school, and the school said it. They are the Ames.
When did they tell you that, Otis? At what point? I mean, did they give you 6 months notice? Did they give you a year notice? Did they give you a couple of weeks notice?
They gave me weeks notice.
Okay, so you didn't know except for a few weeks before that your son was going to have to go to mandatory summer school.
I didn't know until a few weeks ago. The way they do it, most times it's a surprise to parents who get their report card and find out suddenly that kid's got to go to summer school. They have a whole semester to tell you so you can get prepared, but they don't do that. That's why I was saying it was broke down from the beginning.
There you go.
And now here we are in the middle of summer school, the time when it's supposed to be happening, and I guarantee that isn't a clue over here in North St. Louis.
All right, I bet it's in South St. Louis, too. Thank you, Otis.
Thank you.
And keep us apprised.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Obadiah.
Yes, how you doing, Mrs. Brown?
Fine.
Yeah, you know, I just want to say, you know, God is so good. That's why I believe in God. I don't believe in organized religion. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. You remember a long time ago, well, not a long time ago, a few months ago, I made a statement to you that we used to say in the South, old black folks used to say there was only two free people in this country. That was a white man and a black woman. Now, right now, if you look at the Condoleezza Rice and the Mr. Bush, what other two people have the right to say that? Ask Sammy Davis and Kim Novak. Ask any. If there's no way that a black man could say that about a white woman being up there, that's my wife, so-and-so.
That's not an indication of freedom.
Well, I'm not talking about all freedom, Ms. Brown. I'm just talking about that part. That was a relationship between the male and white male.
Thank you for your call. We got to go, and I will be back at the top of the hour for more news, more of your comments, and more information. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out. That's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air from the brothers. Stop the system.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Should man and wife be replaced with partners for life? President Bush says no way. Today he'll repeat his call for a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. On the same day, the Senate begins debate on the issue. And Business Week White House reporter Rick Dunham says there's a lot at stake for the GOP where this matter is concerned.
If this current meltdown in the suburbs continues, Republicans could lose 15 House races, which could be enough to turn the election, and up to 5 Senate seats, which could make it very close.
The Senate doesn't have the votes right now to pass the amendment. How much have they planned and who were the targets? Those are just two of the questions that Canadian authorities have after the arrest of 17 people accused of plotting some major wide-scale terror attacks.
Police here have said the 17 people arrested arranged to take delivery of 3 tons of ammonium nitrate, a fertilizer used to make explosives. It's unclear whether the suspects actually took possession of the material. One news agency here reports undercover officers arranged the sale of a bogus chemical that looked like fertilizer. Shortly afterward, the raids began and arrests were made.
ABC's Aaron Katursky in Toronto. 25 years ago today, the first cases of AIDS were documented in a government report. 5 California men who had a rare form of pneumonia were mentioned, tens of millions of people later. And deaths of those people, we now know they were the first documented cases. Members of the Louisiana National Guard have another skill which they may have to call upon in the event of another hurricane like Hurricane Katrina. They can now drive passenger buses, and they might be needed to get people out of the city of New Orleans in such a storm.
It's a little different because now with, you know, training National Guardsmen, because, you know, with the attitudes they have, kind of gung-ho, you know.
Brian Reduff with the Regional Transit Authority after the clinics were conducted over the weekend. Experts say this year's hurricane season could be almost as bad as last year's. This is ABC News.
Yes, I'm asleep. Aches and pains used to keep me up all the time, but now new Advil PM is changing all that. If I was awake, I'd leap for joy, but I'm not. I'm asleep. See, new Advil PM combines the multi-pain relieving power of Advil with a non-habit-forming sleep aid. Nothing's proven stronger on tough nighttime pain. I'd shout it from the hilltops, but I don't want to wake myself up.
New Advil PM. Stop hurting and start sleeping.
Use only as directed. Available at participating retailers.
Hey, let's go to my house for an Ovaltine milkshake.
I love Dunkin' Ovaltine shakes. Let's go!
Isn't it snack time for the kids?
Let's make them Ovaltine milkshakes.
I'll get out the ice cream and milk.
And I'll get the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Hey, this is Mom making an Ovaltine shake.
Yes, I love her Ovaltine shake.
Yeah!
Now I'll add the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
And I'll get the glasses.
Mom, we're home!
Who wants an Ovaltine shake?
I do!
I guess we better make more.
More Ovaltine shakes, please!
It's a disturbing trend among young people that psychologists say they're seeing. More of them are self-mutilating, cutting or burning themselves, and they're even noticing cases as young as elementary school. Moviegoers wanted to see Jennifer Aniston's breakup. No, not the one with Brad Pitt that was played out in the tabloids. The one on the big screen with Vince Vaughn.
Love really does conquer all.
Even mutants.
Fine, I'll help you do the dishes.
Now, that's not what I want.
You just said that you want me to help you do the dishes.
I want you to want to do the dishes.
Why would I want to do dishes?
Ugh!
The Breakup, the Jennifer Aniston, Vince Vaughn romantic comedy, opened at number one with over $38 million. The X-Men sequel slipped to second place.
What is that?
That is the weekend's number three movie, Over the Hedge. The Da Vinci Code finished fourth.
I am Al Gore. I used to be the next president of the United States of America.
And Al Gore's global warming documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, cracked the top 10. Dave Alpert, ABC News, Hollywood.
I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
This WGNU News Update is brought to you by Century Mortgage. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news, one man is dead and two others are hospitalized after a shooting near a North St. Louis club. A 19-year-old victim, identified by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch as Giovanni Johnson, died in the shooting early yesterday morning outside the Spotlight Lounge on North Broadway. The two other victims are listed in serious condition. No arrests have been made. The suspect in the killing of a Montgomery City woman and the wounding of a police officer will be held without bond. Brian Tulloch of St. Peter's allegedly shot and wounded a Montgomery City officer early Friday morning during a traffic stop. Tulloch then allegedly killed 32-year-old Heidi Casagrand at her home and wounded 33-year-old Ricky Fry near his home. Investigators say Tulloch knew both victims. Tulloch suffered a medical emergency after his arrest Friday and was taken to an area hospital. He's charged with first-degree murder, first-degree assault, and assault on a law enforcement officer. In St. Charles, the search for a missing cab driver has a happy ending. 38-year-old Jeffrey Theodoro was reported missing Saturday when he never reported back after picking up a fare. Theodoro was found early Sunday morning with his cab near Cave Springs. Police are not releasing any other details on his disappearance. And finally, work begins today to remove and replace the surface of the Poplar Street Bridge. Debbie Allen, the spokesperson for MoDOT, says one lane of traffic in each direction will be closed at all times, and a second lane will be closed during off-peak hours. Allen says this will cause a lot of delays and suggests people use alternate routes, such as the MLK, Eads, or Chain of Rocks Bridge. The work should be completed by Labor Day. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by Century Mortgage. Got a prehistoric rate? Call Century Mortgage today to qualify for their 1% pay option program. Call 314-576-6400. That's Century Mortgage, 576-6400, because it's time to turn to Century. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Westbound 70 between 370 and Mid Rivers Mall for an accident. Two left lanes are blocked and emergency crews are on the scene. Northbound 55 at Herculane and McNutt and Route Z and Peabody look for an accident reported. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler all the way to Merrimack River Bridge. Look for slow traffic there. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry to Big Bend. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 at West Florissant and 170. Look for traffic to be building there. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes all the way to 79. Look for some sluggish traffic there. And westbound approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are slow this hour, as well as westbound approaches on the Martin Luther King Bridge are slow as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Drive-In to Sonic Tuesday nights for half-price burgers. That's right. Get unlimited classic Sonic burgers for half the price from 5 p.m. till close on Tuesdays. It's not just good. It's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Partly cloudy, high in the mid-80s. Today, this evening, partly cloudy, 30% chance of showers, low in the lower 60s for this evening. For Tuesday, partly sunny in the morning, partly cloudy in the afternoon, a high around 80. And Wednesday, pretty much the same, partly sunny with a high in the lower 80s. Currently, we have 61 degrees at AM 920 WGNU. Lambert Field is reporting 63. Stay tuned for more Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Next, on Mondays at 9, we take a look at the Federal Reserve System, the only institution on the planet that allows banks to create money out of nothing, then turn around and make money on that nothing money when they lend it. The Fed lets the government borrow unlimited amounts of cash with no plan or intent for repayment. It's been called the greatest ripoff since Jesse James. Financial and investment counselor Roland Manarin exposes the Federal Reserve System for what it is, but also describes how you can take this new knowledge and work it for your own financial benefit on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. From the brothers, talking to the sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. From the brothers, talking to the sisters.
Was shot and was killed tonight. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, there's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that you blow that the low nation.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
freedom. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Wow. There are just so many amazing stories that are out here. So many amazing stories, and I want to before I get to some of them and get to some of your calls, I want to remind everybody and thank everybody two things. I want to remind you that the Urban Institute. Saturday Morning Urban Institute. Our next meeting is this Saturday at 1020 North Taylor. That's 1020 North Taylor. And there's just a amazing information that we need to have and need to understand. We're going to be talking about the Team 4 plan. the Team 4 plan. It's a plan that was put together by the city of St. Louis decades ago. And it was an effort to carve up the city so that one section of the city would have and another section of the city would have not. There was an outroar about the plan. The plan was supposedly shelved. But the reality of it is the plan was never shelved. And we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about the connection of that with charter schools, with the issue of eminent domain, and with this voter ID bill. It's going to be a significant discussion this Saturday at 1020 North Taylor. That's the fire building. And we want to give a thanks out to the Black Firefighters Association for allowing us to have their building. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. I'm very excited about it. Put it on your calendar, 9 a.m. Saturday morning, 1020 North Taylor. That's 1020 North Taylor, right off of Del Mar, 1020 North Taylor. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes. Liz?
Yes, Clark.
Yes. I want to talk about medicine. I was listening to 60 Minutes, and they were talking about counterfeit drugs coming into the United States of America out of China. I have always believed in the name of Lincoln B. Calvin. He was a genius mathematician, Lincoln B. Calvin. And his son is Judge Calvin, downtown St. Louis. He's a brilliant man. He was a physician. And also he was a psychiatrist. And I have known it for a long time of the counterfeit of medicine. The Food and Drug Administration is in conflict of interest. It has always been in conflict of interest. And the Congress of the United States of America must put in place a review of them, because 1 out of 9 who enter a hospital, staph infections, everything, would die. The public should be aware of what is happening now. One day, socialized medicine will have to happen. In fact, I welcome any in the audience out there. I welcome any Cuban physician to live with me, to live with me, and to provide free medical services.
All right, Clark. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. There are just some things happening out here that no one is really tying together. I'm looking at the front page of the Investor's Business Daily. That's the IBD. Thanks, Brother Bob. That's Monday, June 5th. Front page, tepid job growth, slower wage gains, signal U.S. cooling. There were just 75,000 jobs added as manufacturers, retailers cut. The joblessness rate, the jobless rate falls to 4.6. Companies created just 75,000 jobs in May. This is the smallest gain in 7 months. Economists are looking at this as a signal that the economy might be slowing faster than expected. Economists had projected that non-farm payroll jobs would rise to 170,000 jobs. We got 75,000 jobs. And it's not just this month. For the last 3 months, hiring has cooled, with downward revisions to March, downward revisions to April. Factory and retail jobs declined, with overall service hiring sluggish once again. And the reports also eased fears that wages would drive up inflation. Oh, it's bad out here. Check this out on the front page of the Investor's Business Daily. July crude oil prices leapt $2 to $72.33 a barrel. And they're saying that it went that high because a standoff with Iran is going nowhere. So let me get this straight. The United States has picked a fight with Iran, and our gas prices are going up as a result of it. What do you think survey says? If the American people would ask the question, if the United States, whether they would want the United States to leave Iran alone if they thought that their gas prices would go down, what do you think most Americans would say? You know what? I'll take my risk. You know what? I'll take my risk. Gas prices went up $2. That's $1.90. That's $2 every day of the week. $1.99 a barrel. Why? Because the talks in Iran are going nowhere as long as the United States is involved. Isn't that something? Check this out. Again, IBD, Investors Business Daily. The odds of a June 29 rate hike fell to 47% after the weak job report, from 72% on Thursday and 78% on Friday. Why are we even talking about that? Hopes of a Fed pause after weak jobs data was offset by Iran tensions, soaring oil prices, and fears of the economy is slowing fast. Oh, it's bad out here. It is bad out here. 454-0400 is my phone number. Now, attach that to the front page story of the New York Times. You want to know how bad it is? We talk about the issues that divide us as a country. We talk about those issues. And the one thing that continues to divide us is the issue of class and the issues of race. Check this out. Things are bad out here. Let me just share this with you. The Bush administration plans this week to issue strict standards requiring more than 50 million low-income people on Medicaid to prove that they are United States citizens by showing passports, birth certificates, and a limited number of other documents. Why poor people? Why poor people? The requirements take effect on July. And here's the thing. A lot of people don't have birth certificates. A lot of people on Medicaid don't have birth certificates. And when a person applies for Medicaid, they will have 45 days to prove that, provide the documents. States typically redetermine eligibility every 3 to 12 months. But the thing about it is that the rules are so ambiguous that it doesn't have to do that. That they don't have to do that. Four five four oh 400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to us. We have, I have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. Osiris.
Hello.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me. I just had a comment and would also like to get your perspective regarding it. This is in regards to the National Guard being put on our states that border Mexico.
Okay.
And at running a risk of sounding pessimistic is not what I'm trying to do, but simply learn from history. Now, one concern that I can see before it even happens is that we know, I hate to say this, but we know there are going to be massive abuses. Now, if we know the history of our military presence, whether at home or abroad, it is well documented throughout history the way, not only the way our police force treats its citizens, not only the way we acted in Vietnam, the Korean War, and so forth. So it's not very difficult to predict that when a lot of these Mexican individuals try to sneak over the border, they're not simply going to be apprehended and calmly and harmoniously sent back to Mexico. We can predict that they're going to be massive physical abuse of these people. And I'm just wondering if you've heard anything, if you've heard anyone address this as a concern. As sure as I'm talking to you right now, we can assure that there are going to be widespread abuse of these people who are looked at with a great amount of disdain and so forth.
Well, here's the argument that would be made in response to your observation. The guard is not going down there to arrest, apprehend anyone. They're only going down there to help build fences and give technical support to the Border Patrol officers that are already there. That's how they would respond to that, that their job is not to arrest, apprehend, delay anybody. They're just putting up fences.
Okay, absolutely. You're absolutely right. That is the argument. But what is said what is proven is often, and we know.
Oh, I know.
Often very different.
I hate to
sound pessimistic.
Well, I don't even know that it is fair to characterize it as pessimistic when you're looking at what has transpired in history heretofore. I mean prior to this. But the other piece of this is that I don't know if you had a chance to see 60 Minutes yesterday. There was an excellent piece on the whole issue of building a fence. And what the report concluded was there are thousands of people, though they have 1,000 bodies now, of dead migrant workers that were attempting to come over to the United States and work. They put up the fences, right? They put up these big fences, and you know what? And they just assumed that the desert and the mountains would serve as a natural barrier to migrant workers attempting to come over. It did not. And what was amazing, and they also showed how before the walls were up, 500 migrant workers would come over all at one time. They would run over the Border Patrol that was there, okay? You know what they've discovered with this new fence that's up? More migrant workers are trying to come over. You know why? Because before, when the fences weren't up, the workers could come back and forth across the border. Now they can't come back and forth across the border, so now when they leave, they're taking their whole family with them. Isn't that something?
Well,
and the people that, wait a minute, the one more thing.
Okay.
The people that were advocating the building of this fence, the people that argued the building of this fence are now saying, we shouldn't have done it. It's made problems worse.
So because of the fence, they feel a great urgency to come over. So instead of one at a time, fence has actually increased the level of border jumping.
Well, it's increased it not because they feel I feel a desire to come over more now. The increase it now is because they can't go back and forth and visit their family and wives and stuff, now they're bringing their families and wives with them.
Right, I see that's interesting. It's a situation that definitely needs to be looked at differently. One thing that's curious to me, and I've asked the question among coworkers, among individuals who are more knowledgeable than I am, why is it that if you come from east of the United States, you're considered a refugee, you're given asylum? For instance, we have a lot of our Bosnian brothers, and I have a lot of Bosnian friends.
Okay, yeah, quickly wrap this up for me, please.
Okay, well, we allow Bosnian Serbians to come over, and they claim asylum. They're considered to be coming from war-torn countries and civil unrest and so forth. But Haitians, who are in just as bad a shape as Bosnians, aren't given the same
Or Cubans. All right.
And so forth. So thank you for letting me make my comment.
All right, Osiris. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We'll take a break here. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my number. You need to get up. You need to get to me.
St. Louis, 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sowers traffic and weather. Sowers traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Westbound 70 at 370 in Mid Rivers. Look for an accident. Left lane is blocked. Northbound 55 from Herculaneum to Route Z in Peavey is an accident. Right lane is blocked. Traffic jamming back approaching Route A. Northbound 55 at 370. There's an accident. Two right lanes are blocked. Eastbound 44 at Mraz Overpass and 270. Look for congestion there. Northbound 270 at 55 all the way into 44. Look for very sluggish traffic. Westbound 270 from West Florissant through 170. Look for traffic to be building there. Eastbound 40 between Long Road and Clarkson. Look for normal traffic. Eastbound 70 from P.R. Hughes to 79. Look for no problems to report there. And the westbound approaches onto the King Bridge and onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect some delays this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners need tires through July 31st. Get a $50 gas card with the purchase of any four new tires at participating Toyota dealers. Visit ToyotaOwnersOnline.com for details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, partly cloudy today, high in the mid-80s, partly cloudy this evening, chance of showers with low and lower 60s. Tuesday, partly sunny throughout the morning and mostly cloudy throughout the afternoon, chance of showers high around 80, and Wednesday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have partly cloudy skies, and our current temperature sits at 64 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 64. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Want to help local charities and not-for-profit groups? Want to have a great time doing it? Then head down to Patty Long's 9th Street Abbey in Soulard this Friday from 5 till 9 p.m. for a party on the patio. Every week, a different organization receives a portion of the proceeds and all the tips their volunteer servers can bring in. There's a featured drink each week, free hors d'oeuvres, and live music. Summer fun and helping others has never been so easy. Party on the patio with Patty Long's 9th Street Abbey all summer long. This week's party benefits COCA, the Center of Creative Arts.
It's never too late to praise the Lord, and that's why you hear the broadcast from the Evangelist Center Church of God in Christ, Sunday nights at 10 on WGNU. It's a full hour of worship with Elder Leon Stewart and his congregation, a message that's timely and timeless. Tune in and hear for yourself. Elder Leon Stewart and the Evangelist Center Church of God in Christ, Sunday nights at 10 on AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Love makes me treat you the way that I do. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? There's nothing too good for a boy, that's so true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you?
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff. Oh. So much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. In the next hour, we're going to be talking to Dr. Stephen Yates. He's a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy and the director of the CIP Cuba Project, and he's going to talk about why the Bush policy in Cuba is a failure, aside from the obvious, because it's involving Bush. We're going to be talking about that. Also, don't forget that on this week, we have on Wednesday, author Elin Harris is going to talk to us, going to be joining us to talk about his book, I Say a Little Prayer. That's author Elin Harris is going to be talking to us on Wednesday. You don't want to miss that. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. Barry, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Fantastic. When you were talking about the birth certificates?
Talking about how now the government, through this plan of George W. Bush, Medicare recipients are now going to have to provide birth certificates, rules. The rules are just tougher for people to answer and to get Medicaid.
Oh, but it gets more interesting than that. This new voter ID card?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? You need the birth certificate for that.
Yep.
And the one from the hospital that has that gold seal on there,
mm-hmm.
they won't accept that. So, therefore, you have to go either downtown or you have to go out to Clayton to get a copy at a cost of
$15. $15 for your birth certificate?
Yes, ma'am.
$15?
Yes, ma'am.
$15 for a birth certificate?
You betcha. And they take great pleasure in sending you back to square one on that. I know that from experience, and you can check it out for yourself.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
All right.
Well, I just thought I'd pass that on to you.
Thank
you,
Barry.
What they should ought to do is they should ought to start calling their congressmen.
Absolutely. And because Matt Blunt has not signed this voter ID bill into law yet, everybody should be out there calling their elected officials on this because it is completely unacceptable. It is completely unacceptable.
Big time. I mean,
$15. Plus, you have to buy then you have to go get the state ID.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, too, on top of that, is if you're driving, and it's say the people that are on Medicaid that are struggling with their budget already,
mm-hmm.
there's another $15 plus parking plus gas plus, you know.
All of that.
Indeed.
All of that. And one of them is just to vote. Who do you think is going to be able to go? If you need to make a decision on whether or not you are going to eat or vote, where are you going to spend your $15?
Exactly. I just thought that I'd bring that to your attention in case I didn't know if you were aware of that.
I wasn't. Thank you for that, Barry.
Thank you, Liz, for your time, and you have a great week.
You too. Bye-bye. 454-0400. That is my phone number, 454-6609. That is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Kathy.
Oh, that was unbelievable. Okay, as a state, okay, I want to talk about the T4 plan again. I want you to comment more on that you're just talking about. I don't know anything about the T4 plan, but when you mention it, I have to tell you this. In Yazid Alameen's office, main office, where they distribute their literature and stuff, there's a statue of Bart Simpson with this T4 T-shirt on. And I said, why do you have Bart Simpson in your office? I said, he's a vulgar. I said, he's a really detriment to the mental health of children. Nobody said anything. I said, what is the T4 plan? Nobody said anything to that. So I walked out thinking, well, you know, something that I didn't know anything about. I just dropped it. But when you said that it has connections to the charter school?
That is correct. That is correct. It has connections to charter schools. It has connections to eminent domain. And it has connections to voter ID.
Oh, so that's why it wasn't explained to me. Okay.
Mm.
But will you talk some more about what he just said? There's an additional ID to this ID that we already have?
There's a new, we were talking about two different things, Kathy. We were talking
right.
about this new piece of legislation, that an article that's in the New York Times
right.
this morning, that Medicaid rules are going to require 50 million low-income people on Medicaid to prove that they are United States citizens by showing a passport, birth certificate, and a limited number of other documents.
Do you have to have all three of them?
There are three different ways. There are three different things that you're going to have to. There are four categories of documents that can be used as evidence of citizens, okay, from the most reliable to the least reliable. The best evidence is a U.S. passport or a certificate of naturalization. The next category is a state and local birth certificates and State Department documents issued to children born abroad to the United States, to United States citizens. The third category consists of non-government documents showing the place of birth. Those are medical records from doctors, hospitals, and clinics, nursing home administration papers, records from life and health insurance policies. The fourth category are affidavits that can only be used in rare circumstances when the state is unable to secure evidence of citizenship from other sources. So those are the four categories. That takes place July 1st. It's for 50 million low-income people on Medicaid. And if you don't have it, you're kicked off. If you can't prove it, you're kicked off.
When I got my passport, I only paid $3 for my birth certificate.
Mm.
This is horrible.
Thank you, Kathy.
Okay, thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Jeff.
Yes, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
But, you know, I'm going through that right now with my mother with the birth certificate thing.
Uh-huh.
She's 73 years of age, and, mm-hmm. you know, she was trying to renew her license. You know, last year, because of Homeland Security, this deal about having your birth certificate and your Social Security card to get your driver's license, that changed, I think, back in January.
Yep.
And this is the problem that you have in Missouri. In Missouri, especially if you're an elderly person and you haven't really had to access your birth certificate for a long time, you know, the I think it's Vital Records, is that who has your birth certificates?
That's one place.
Right. They moved from over on Grand to the mayor's office, the city hall. Well, when you go in there to get your birth certificate, now it's like $15. And then what you might find out, and a lot of people won't know this until like the last minute, is that on your birth certificate, if you were born like before 1950, a lot of them still have baby girl or baby boy. And then you have to do an amendment or something like that, and you got to send this to Jefferson City. Well, guess what? They got a backlog from right now. They're working on November of 2004.
So you're saying that birth certificates don't have a name on them. They would have baby girl or baby boy.
And then they have your last name.
And they have your last name. So you then...
That's not good enough. You can't...
Wait a minute.
You have to do an amendment.
All right, let me try to walk through this so I can understand it, Jeff.
Okay.
People have birth certificates that if you're born before 1950 that have baby girl Brown on them, for example. Then you have to go to Jefferson City and get another document to show that that's Mary Brown.
Right.
And there's a backlog of getting that additional documentation. They're still in 2004.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's like November of last year. And so what the lady told me when I called 1573 to Jefferson City, she said, well, I can send you the paperwork, and if you either drive to Jefferson City, we can get it changed on the same day, or you can send it overnight, but that'll cost you another $15 or $20. And then,
so your mother's driver's license is expired?
Well, they expired back in January, but she was in the hospital.
Okay, so let's just say that she wasn't in the hospital and she wanted to use her driver's license. She still wouldn't have her driver's license renewed, conceivably.
You get 6 months after they expire to renew.
Okay.
So she got until, like July to before. But you might be able to get an extension or something. But nevertheless, when you go in that office, it's compelling because, you're saying to them, wait a minute, I've been a resident. They're trying to verify your citizenship. And how are you going to verify my citizenship? I mean, why are you trying to verify my citizenship? I've been in the United States for 72 years.
Mm.
My point is that, If you said that July 1st, people are going to have birth certificates.
50 million people that are low-income people that are on Medicaid mm-hmm. are going to have birth certificates.
Well, they better get,
It's out. And if
get
they
over
don't,
the vital records and see what's going on because they lost a lot of information. So this is all for homeless. It's harder for an American to get access to certain things in America nowadays than it is for an immigrant.
I've got to roll, Jeff. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. We'll be back.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. Free estimates, over 16 years experience. 361-7127, 361-7127.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Milwaukee. The Department of Veterans Affairs is offering free blood tests to over 22,000 veterans who had prostate biopsies at veterans' hospitals across the country. There is a concern that some of the equipment used in those exams may not have been sterilized properly, which would have exposed the veterans to becoming infected with deadly viruses. One of the probes used in the biopsy procedure could, if not cleaned properly, become contaminated with bodily fluids that could cause HIV or hepatitis. The procedures took place at 21 medical centers in 18 states. VA officials say a manufacturer of the equipment failed to include directions, saying that a brush was necessary to scrub clean the equipment. And Dateline Gaza City. Palestinian officials say they have been able to make payroll for some government workers for the first time in 3 months. The salaries went to about 40,000 of the lowest paid employees. Another 125,000 workers, however, are still waiting for their money. The Hamas-led government had been having money problems because Western donations had stopped due to the Hamas hardline stance against Israel. The salaries were paid shortly after four armed Palestinian independence groups announced they would start a campaign against banks if money was not put into the accounts of government workers. This is your wake-up call Global News Update, brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. Philip Person Roofing is a licensed and certified roofing contractor offering a 15-year warranty on a new modified rubber roof made by GAF, the largest roofing manufacturer in America. Whether commercial or residential, you can finance
finance any new roof with your Visa or MasterCard. For a free estimate, call Philip Person Roofing at 361-7127, 361-7127. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
What do hair, feet, wings, and a tiara all have in common?
Find out in the ladies' room every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
This is Sandy.
And this is Bobby. And we'd like to invite you to join us on the Design Life every Monday afternoon from 4 to 5.
We hope you'll join us as we talk about designing your life to achieve success and fulfillment.
Next, on Mondays at 9, we take a look at the Federal Reserve System, the only institution on the planet that allows banks to create money out of nothing, then turn around and make money on that nothing money when they lend it. The Fed lets the government borrow unlimited amounts of cash with no plan or intent for repayment. It's been called the greatest ripoff since Jesse James. Financial and investment counselor Roland Manarin exposes the Federal Reserve System for what it is, but also describes how you can take this new knowledge and work it for your own financial benefit on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Rick.
Yeah, Liz. Hey, you know on this the voter ID thing they want you to have?
Mm-hmm.
If you vote without it, isn't there a provision for provisional ballots?
There is a provision for provisional ballots, but there are the rules with regard to how the provisional ballots are going to be counted,
mm-hmm.
if they are going to be counted, are uncertain.
Yeah,
and
that's
also
what I was wondering about. If we all would get together and say, no, I'm not going to show my voter ID card, and you're going to have to research each one of these ballots, and it's going to cost somebody a whole lot of money.
But if they decide not to count them,
then we're screwed.
Then we're screwed.
Yeah,
and it's also one of the things, there's a letter that was written by the Secretary of State to Matt Blunt, asking the question of who's going to pay for the cost of the printing of all of these provisional ballots.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. You know, that it's going to cost them a whole lot of more money if a bunch of people would get together and not show their ID card on purpose.
And what about this piece of it, though, Rick? I mean, that's assuming that each jurisdiction has enough provisional ballots for you to vote with. Suppose you're at a jurisdiction where they didn't get very many copies of the provisional ballots.
Yeah.
What do you do then? That means that people are there's going to be no record of anybody voting for anything. The whole thing is part of the criticisms leveled at it is that it's an unfunded mandate. And that
already go through the Supreme Court, like poll taxes and that kind of stuff.
Not this particular one. There are lawsuits that are being worked on right now to file about this piece of legislation. But no, this is an unfunded mandate. And it's going to keep people from voting. Period. Dot.
Oh yeah, and that's point.
That is the point.
The point to keep the Democrats and poor and older people from voting.
Absolutely.
So that the Republicans can keep their majority and stuff.
But what they don't understand is that this is going to impact on their rural voters as well. It's going to keep people from voting, period, dot.
Well, they're willing to sacrifice a few rural people to, you know, get their way in the long run.
All right. Thank you, Rick. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Okay, I can't hear you with all that clacking in the background.
Oh, I was stirring something up. There's a connection with the new director of Medicare and Medicaid and Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
Someone knew that if the plan came true with that levy, that the hundreds of thousands of African Americans from New Orleans could be adversely affected, as all of their proof of anything has been destroyed by the floodwaters. This, to me, is a plan of a group of genocidal racists in the government, starting with the president.
All right, now.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to talk about something that I've only heard on your show, the wake-up call, about the United States Postal Service, their funds, their pension funds being pillaged and plundered by flip-flopping W and his employees. Now, the report was that they stole all of their pension money. And now they're talking about increasing the postage stamp from 39 cents. We don't know how much it would go up, but the ink is still not even dry on a 39-cent stamp. And my question is, how could we not have heard anything about them before they took the money? Why is that not illegal for someone to steal your pension funds? And why do we hear about it afterwards? I would like to know, is there a washed-out group who looks into these things? Because to me, it seems like it would be illegal for anyone to steal your funds, your retirement funds. So to me, it sounds, if anything, it sounds outrageous, and it sounds like it might not be legal. And I would like to know, how could flip-flopping W go into something as, I mean, how much money do you think was in their pension plan, their funds?
Oh, I don't know.
It had to be billions.
Okay. All right, Christine, thank you.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. And don't forget, on Saturday, put it on your calendar, come on down to 1020 North Taylor, that's 1020 North Taylor, the Saturday Morning Urban Institute meeting once again. We're going to be talking about the Team 4 plan. We're going to be talking about charter schools. We're going to be talking about the voter ID bill. We're going to be talking about eminent domain and the connection to the Team 4 plan. You don't want to miss it. Bring your families. Come on down to 1020 North Taylor. That's Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Saturday morning. There'll be a continental breakfast served Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Come on down to 1020 North Taylor for the Saturday Morning Urban Institute. Irene J. Smith and myself will be there to talk about this issue and so much more. Thank you all for coming out last week, and I will see you all and more at the next meeting at 1020 North Taylor. That's 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. In the next hour, we're going to be talking about Cuba, and we're going to be talking about why the Cuban policy of George W. Bush is such a failure. Dr. Stephen Yates, Senior Fellow at the Center for International Policy and the Director of the Cuba CIP Project, he's going to be joining us. And don't forget, on Wednesday, I'm very excited about author Elin Harris joining us on his to talk about his new book, I Say a Little Prayer. We're going to have him on Wednesday. We're going to be talking Wednesday, of course, also St. Louis Public Schools Watch about the vote of the teachers. So much, so much, so much, so much. And we're going to get it all done this week. Stay with me. We'll be back to talk about our Cuban policy. And then, of course, Mondays at 9, why the Federal Reserve is such a ripoff. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. They don't seem to be members of any well-known terrorist group, but U.S. officials are plenty concerned about last weekend's arrest of 17 Canadians accused of plotting some major and widespread attacks.
What has the FBI concerned is that the 17 Canadian suspects had ties to two men arrested in Georgia last spring. The FBI accused the men of gathering information about Washington, D.C., oil refineries, and military installations. The FBI says there's no indication of an imminent threat, but officials point out the alleged Canadian plot shows why the Bureau must be aggressive in looking for terrorists here at home.
ABC's Pierre Thomas in Washington. Gay marriage is front and center at the White House today. President Bush will repeat his call for a constitutional amendment to ban it on the same day that the Senate begins to debate the hot-button issue. More from ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
President Bush argues that state courts and city mayors are trying to overturn federal law, which defines marriage as the union of one man and one woman, a definition that has long had broad public support. He is today taking the lead in the political argument that the only so-called protection would be a constitutional amendment, but that has limited public support and little chance of passing the Senate. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Several dozen Utah National Guard troops are on duty along the Arizona-Mexico border. They are the first Guards members deployed under the president's immigration reform initiatives. More anti-U.S. protests today in Baghdad. Thousands of supporters of Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr marched against alleged U.S.-led raids on al-Sadr's offices. In a government report that was released 25 years ago today, five gay men from California are described as having a rare form of pneumonia. They were the first documented cases of AIDS in the U.S. Millions of people have died since then. A cure is a long way off, but doctors say new medications are helping people with HIV live longer, healthier lives. This is ABC News.
There's an energy crisis in my house. The kids have too much, my husband and I barely enough. You see, they're in a let's hide things for mommy phase. So I'm late for work and there's only one brown shoe in my closet. I need my Carnation Instant Breakfast.
With twice the calcium of yogurt and 21 vitamins and minerals, Carnation Instant Breakfast has the complete nutrition you need to get going. Even on a Monday.
Oh boy. Kids, where'd you put the cat?
No! Nestle Carnation Instant Breakfast. Serious morning fuel.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Save big during digital
Camera Week at Office Depot. Receive an Office Depot gift card of up to $50 with the purchase of select digital cameras. Office Depot has all the top brands, including Canon, Nikon, Sony, Kodak, Olympus, and HP. So hurry into Office Depot for big savings during Camera Week and get ready for summer memories. Gift card amount based on 10% of camera price, $50 maximum.
Teenage golf sensation Michelle Wee has taken the LPGA by storm, and today she'll try and make history by becoming the first woman to compete in the men's U.S. Open. Here's ABC's Todd Ant.
Many of Michelle Wee's detractors feel she should concentrate on the women's tour instead of attempting to qualify for the men's Open. LPGA Hall of Famer Judy Rankin disagrees.
All those opinions are sort of old news now, because it's a fact that she's doing it a different way than anybody's done it before. And it's also a fact that she seems to be the most special talent we've ever seen in women's golf.
We and 152 others will play 36 holes in the top 18 spots at Canoebrook will make it to the men's Open. Todd Ant, ABC News, New Jersey.
Few people would argue that children need guidelines when it comes to discipline, but there is a new study out today which shows there are limits to how strict a parent should be. A new study shows the stricter a mother is, the more likely her child is to be overweight. Experts say that's because children tend to react to stress by overeating. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Here's a WGNU News report brought to you by McDonald's. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news this morning, St. Louis public school teachers are expressing no confidence in the district's leadership. The teachers' union took a no-confidence vote in the central administration at a meeting yesterday. Byron Clemens, the first vice president of the St. Louis Teachers Union, says one issue leading to the vote was the reconstitution of several schools.
Under No Child Left Behind, there were four schools listed by the state of Missouri that needed to be reconstituted. Our school system is reconstituting 13 schools, which the way this is being done impacts on the whole school district.
The no-confidence vote includes Superintendent Craig Williams' central administration, but not the school board. Clemens says union officials heard from school board president Veronica O'Brien yesterday, and she wants to hear from the teachers about their concerns. Meanwhile, St. Louis public school teachers are getting less than expected on their last paychecks because of a payroll error. Mary Armstrong, the president of the St. Louis Teachers Union, says there's financial help available for teachers who need it.
We have made arrangements with First Community Credit Union for those members of the credit union, those that are not, to try to get a loan to pay their bills that the three-day salary reduction will not afford them.
Armstrong says the district payroll department did not adjust teachers' paychecks for extra days added to the school calendar. She says the teachers and Superintendent Craig Williams did not find out about the error until the last day of school. And finally this hour, a former Capital Title Branch manager will go to prison for embezzlement. Carol Black was sentenced Friday to 1 year and 1 day in federal prison. Black pleaded guilty in March to interstate transmission of stolen money. Prosecutors say she embezzled $100,000 from the Capital Title Branch in Arnold. The charges against Black were not linked to the charges against former Capital Title President Peter Shaw, who's now serving a prison term for fraud related to the company's escrow funds. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by McDonald's. Try the new Asian salad at McDonald's. Orange glazed chicken, mandarin oranges, snow peas, red bell peppers, almonds, and fresh greens with low-fat sesame ginger dressing. McDonald's, I'm loving it. I'm Peyton Colston reporting for WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Westbound 270 at New Florissant Road. Look for an accident. Right lane's blocked. Eastbound 40 from Bowles and Merrimack River Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at 55 and 44 is slow. Westbound 270 from West Florissant all the way into 170. Look for slight delays this hour. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason Road. Look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79 and a slow go there as well. Westbound 270 from 111 all the way into the Canal Bridge. Look for stop and go traffic. Westbound King Bridge traffic from the Gravel Pit into Laclede's Landing. Look for a slow go. And westbound approaches from 5570 from 64 and northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect some delays this hour. Northbound 55 from Park Avenue to the Poplar Street Bridge. It is slow in the right lane as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been... Oh, one more thing here. Grand Avenue at Shoto. Look for an emergency crews reporting ammonia leak at a Peavely Dairy, so use caution there as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners need tires through July 31st. Get a $50 gas card with a purchase of four new tires at participating Toyota dealers. Visit toyotaownersonline.com for details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, partly cloudy, high in the mid-80s. This evening, partly cloudy. Chance of showers, lower in the lower 60s. Tuesday, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy throughout the day with a high around 80, and Wednesday pretty much the same. Currently, we have 64 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting 65. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Next, on Mondays at 9, we take a look at the Federal Reserve System, the only institution on the planet that allows banks to create money out of nothing, then turn around and make money on that nothing money when they lend it. The Fed lets the government borrow unlimited amounts of cash with no plan or intent for repayment. It's been called the greatest ripoff since Jesse James. Financial and investment counselor Roland Manarin exposes the Federal Reserve System for what it is, but also describes how you can take this new knowledge and work it for your own financial benefit on the next edition of Mondays at 9.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
More and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Well, Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you want to contact me via email, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the other phone number. Last week, at the end of the week, we did a black and brown segment. We talked about Africa and we talked about Latin America. And part of our discussion included an interview with the first secretary for the Cuban version of the embassy. They are embedded within the, I believe it is, another country's embassy. So we had our conversation about the Cuban Five, and they are with within the Swiss embassy. So we need to continue our conversation, because I received a lot of phone calls and a lot of emails after that discussion on Friday talking about Cuba, from conversations about their doctor's program to questions about what our relationship is with with Fidel Castro and with Cuba, and what is the U.S. policy. And I think it should come as no surprise to anyone that, given the actions and the legacy and the record of the current administration, that Bush's policy towards Cuba achieves the opposite effect. An impact. It's no surprise, but we need to talk about the specifics of that. And to facilitate that conversation, we have a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy joining us from Washington, D.C., Wayne Smith. Wayne Smith, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Very good. Could you talk to us about the Bush's policy towards Cuba? How is it different than, let's say, Bill Clinton's policy or George Bush's policy or even Ronald Reagan's policy? Is it that big of a difference?
Yes, it does go further. I don't think any U.S. policy over recent years has been very intelligent and certainly has not been successful. The time to have begun the normalization process was in the early 90s, as the Cold War was over, the Soviet Union had collapsed, and Cuba could not possibly represent any threat, therefore, to the United States. And they were open
because Cuba,
to engagement, but we didn't do it.
Because Cuba was only as strong as the Soviet Union.
Well, Cuba was not a threat to the United States without the Soviet Union. I mean, it doesn't have the military wherewithal to mount a threat to the United States. That could only be done through the Soviet Union. As the Soviet Union collapsed and the Cold War was over, that all disappeared. Now, we should have begun a normalization process then. We didn't, but at least, to its credit, the Clinton administration did open up to people-to-people travel. Lots and lots of Americans were able to travel to Cuba. And as Karen Hughes, George Bush's ambassador to the world, has put it, our best instrument of diplomacy, our best instrument of reaching out to people, is precisely people-to-people exchanges. But the Bush administration closed all that down. They have virtually sealed off American travel to Cuba, even in terms of educational exchanges. They have virtually sealed off, and they have announced, as of 2 years ago, the Bush administration announced that its objective in Cuba was to bring down the Castro government, no longer to encourage a more open society, to encourage greater respect for human rights, but to bring the government down.
How unusual is that, Wayne, for a government to say our goal is to bring down another?
Yeah, it's very unusual. Not only that, get this. At the same time, they announced that we're going to bring the Cuban government down, and they came forward with a committee to supervise or to oversee Cuba's transition to democracy and appointed a transition coordinator. Now, in Iraq, at least we waited until we had invaded and occupied the country before we appointed a transition coordinator. Here, for the past 2 years, we've had one, but sitting in the Department of State. It's an utterly absurd and counterproductive policy.
What does a policy like that say to the rest of the world?
Well, the rest of the world is simply baffled is not quite the word. They've been watching it so long they're no longer baffled, but appalled by our policy towards Cuba. They see it as evidence of a deep and painful and harmful idiosyncrasy on the part of the United States. Okay, we don't agree with the Cuban government on many things. We'd like to see it move in a somewhat different direction, yes. But this is not the way to do it. This is a policy. It's gotten worse and worse. This is the most harmful it's ever been. But a policy of denial and refusal to talk, refusal to engage, is one we've followed for the past 46 years. And it hasn't worked. I thought Americans were supposed to be pragmatic. When something doesn't work, you try something new. No, in this case, we keep hammering away at our own thumb.
Well, how does the rest of the world embrace a relation, or does the rest of the world embrace a relationship with Cuba? Because I know that our Haitian policy is just as obscene and just as wrong-headed, but France loves it, and other countries, and Canada loves the relationship. Is the United States isolated in its treatment of Cuba?
Yeah, the United States is almost totally isolated. Look, I think last year, we'll have a new vote coming up in the fall on the U.S. embargo, but every year the vote gets bigger. If I recall correctly, last year the vote was 182 in the U.N. General Assembly, 182 against our embargo, and four or five, who voted with us. Who were those who voted with us? Well, Israel, which always votes with us against the embargo, but Israel is a major trading partner with you. Yeah, they vote with us in the UN and then do just what they want to, and I guess that's very sensible of them. And the others voting with us, the Marshall Islands and I've forgotten the other, but
kind of like our coalition.
Another little island republic out in the Pacific. Now that was it.
So China,
the only countries with us. Now, there was in the UN on the matter of membership on the UN, Human Rights Committee, the new Human Rights Committee. The United States was insisting that the vote had to be two-thirds. No country could be elected without two-thirds of the members of the UN voting for it. Wisely, I would say, the U.S. didn't run because it wouldn't have been elected.
Mm.
Given Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib and everything else. Cuba did run and was elected with, if I recall correctly, it was 130 votes, almost three-fourths. And people are not voting to elect Cuba to the UN Human Rights Committee just because they want Cuba on there. They're voting against the United States to show their rejection of U.S. policy towards Cuba, which is totally isolated. No one in the world supports our policy towards Cuba. And as I say, on the contrary, it's regarded as a rather painful idiosyncrasy.
Well, explain how this policy, I can't wrap my mind around a policy of a transitional government when the government is still in place and has no intention of going anywhere. How does this work in the mind of George Bush?
Well, in the mind of George Bush.
And that's not fair. That's not fair.
For a novel.
That's not fair.
In the mind of George Bush. Look, I think in part it's an ideological thing. You know, his brother has been governor of Florida, has been working in Florida politics for years and years, and this is deeply instilled in George Bush, a hostile policy toward Cuba. It's more, I think, ideological than political. Some people say, oh, they keep this policy to appeal to the Cuban American voters in Florida. That's not altogether true now, because even the Cuban American community in Florida is divided. More and more are coming over to the idea of, hey, this policy doesn't work. We may not like the Castro government, but maybe it would be better to talk to them. Maybe it would be better to begin to engage. And we do want to be able to travel to see our families, which the Bush administration has cut off. And under these new regulations, which accompany the idea of a transition in Cuba, Cuban Americans can now only visit their families once every 3 years, and they must have a specific license in order to visit. And there's no emergency provision. So if you go down to visit your mother in July and you're informed in September, your brother calls and says, mother is dying, well, you can't get an emergency visa to go, or a license to go down and be with her in her last days. So you can go 3 years later and visit her grave, but that's it.
But, and worse than that, God forbid you go and visit your mother, she's in the hospital, or she's fine, and then you get the phone call that your mother has passed on, you can't go to her funeral.
You can't go, you can't go to the funeral, and you can't go to be by her bedside. As I say, you can only
God
go
forbid.
3 years later to visit her grave. I mean, that's inhumane.
And people that are on Bush's side for his Cuban policy, they're impacted by that rule the same way as people that are against Bush's Cuban policy.
Oh, absolutely. But the difference is that the real old hardliners who have the greatest impact, I would say, on Bush's party, on Bush's policy, don't tend to travel. Their parents, their families are by and large long since gone. It's those who've arrived a little bit later who still have families in Cuba. They are the ones who are impacted, and they're beginning to change. So this would be like the old China lobby. You remember it was said we couldn't possibly normalize relations with China because of the China lobby. But when Nixon did it, turned out that the China lobby was a paper tiger, or it no longer had teeth. I think that's the same, is going to be the same with the so-called hardliners in the Cuban American community. Once someone has the guts to say, hey, this policy doesn't work, it doesn't serve the interest of the United States, doesn't serve the interest of the overwhelming majority of Americans, we're going to change it, that'll be it. And there'll be a momentary squeak from the Cuban American, the hardliners in the Cuban American community, and that'll be it.
You just said a few minutes ago that the world is not on the same page as the United States is with respect to its relationship
right.
with Cuba. I'm seeing the same types of changes taking place here in the United States with regard to trade policies. There are states within our union that aren't on the same page with this administration and their trade policy with Cuba.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It really, look.
How many states are we talking about?
Well, the agricultural states, let's say, they want to sell agricultural products to Cuba. The Bush administration doesn't like it, and they keep trying to find ways of limiting it. Why? For goodness sakes, it's in the interest of the United States to be able to sell those agricultural products to Cuba. It's in the interest of the United States to have a more open relationship with Cuba. We should be moving ahead, and there are more and more of the agricultural states, more and more of the agricultural enterprises, let's say, the farm groups, who are pressing for that.
And we're not talking about any small potatoes here. We're talking about around $800 million worth of trade.
Oh, more than that. We've sold over $1 billion worth in agricultural goods, and it could be more if the administration would take off some of the restraints.
Well, how does it work right now?
Well, it's very complicated. It's almost too complicated to go into, because what happened when this was originally approved some 5 years ago, supposedly we were going to be able to sell freely to Cuba, but then the indescribable Tom DeLay of Texas
No, the recently indicted Tom DeLay.
Yes, the recently indicted Tom DeLay of Texas said, well, in the case of Cuba, we couldn't sell cash on the barrelhead. I mean, it would have to be cash on the barrelhead. There couldn't be any credits involved.
Because?
Because he said so.
Oh, okie doke.
Because he said so.
Okay.
There couldn't be any cash, any credit sales to Cuba. It all had to be in cash. Well, that brought up a very complicated procedure under which the goods could be shipped to Cuba, but before they arrived, payment had to be made in a foreign bank and a check cleared and so forth. Now they have an even more complicated process, but it still works. The administration will try to come up with something, I'm sure, to make it even more complicated so that it won't work.
Well, and in terms of Cuban relationships this administration would have us believe that the Cuba is isolated. This administration would have us believe that Cuba is not able to do any kind of business with anybody in the world. But the relationship with Venezuela and China is pretty stunning, isn't it?
Not only with Venezuela and China. Yes, that's true. I mean, the idea this administration puts forward that Cuba is on its last legs, the Castro regime is ready to fall, is simply nonsense. With this new economic relationship with Venezuela, giving them cheap oil and all kinds of credits, and with China, and with all kinds of other countries, and tourism is doing well, Cuba is in improving economic conditions, and certainly nowhere near economic collapse. That's just a pipe dream on the part of the administration. And as for being isolated, Cuba has full diplomatic relations with 172 countries, and 93 of them have full diplomatic missions in Havana.
And we have to take a break here. We're talking to Wayne Smith, senior fellow at the Center for International Policy. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about our trade policies with Cuba. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
St. Louis, 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We will look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Tahiti Village. In both directions, 70 at Olive and Page. Look for construction there. Right lane is closed. Traffic jammed back at 70. Westbound 270 at Illinois Route 3 all the way to New Florissant. Look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to the Merrimack River Bridge. You've got slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry all the way into 44. Look for very sluggish movement there. Northbound 55 at 44 is slow in the right lane as you approach those exit ramps. Westbound Cambridge traffic at LaCleese Landing is returned back to normal. Westbound 55 and westbound 64 approaches on the Topple Street Bridge are looking good. Granite Shoto is closed due to an emergency crews. They report smelling an ammonia leak in Peavely at the Peavely Dairy. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Tahiti Village. Why haven't you called Tahiti Village yet? You've heard Tanya Roberts on the radio offering couples complimentary 3 days, 2 nights hotel in Las Vegas. So call today, 877-57-VEGAS. That's 877-57-VEGAS. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Partly cloudy day, high in the mid-80s this evening, partly cloudy, chance of showers, low in the lower 60s. Tuesday, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy afternoon, high around 80 and a chance of showers, and Wednesday pretty much the same. Currently we have 65 degrees under partly cloudy skies at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. Is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Looks like Six Flags St. Louis is kicking off its best season ever with a 45th anniversary and the largest expansion in park history. And here with us on the phone right now, the one and only Tasmanian Devil, Taz. Taz, you there? Yeah, Taz, it's a pleasure to speak to you, too. My wife's doing great. Listen, we've heard so much about the expansion. Tell us about it. So, you've got the all-new Superman Tower of Power, the Bugs Bunny National Park, and the Justice League Superheroes? And it's all part of the 45th anniversary, which has shows, nightly parades, and a laser light show? Wow, that's a lot, considering you've already got some of the world's most amazing rides in family entertainment. Is there anything else? Six Flags is what? Oh, I see. Six Flags is more than a theme park. It's an experience. And get discount tickets at SixFlags.com.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Will Cook, president of Holiday World at Splash and Safari in Santa Claus, Indiana. Have you seen it yet? It's Holiday World's new Voyage roller coaster. I believe it's the best coaster ever built. Voyage is one of the tallest, fastest, and longest roller coasters in the world. It has three incredible drops of over 100 feet, which create its great speed. But my favorite part is all the hills. Our hills generate more weightless airtime than any other wooden coaster. The Voyage has a world record 5 underground tunnels that will have you screaming in the dark. It also features 3 extreme 90-degree bank curves, another world record. People tell us Holiday World and Splash and Safari is a great value for families. We offer 2 parks for 1 price and free unlimited soft drinks all day long. We're located in Santa Claus, Indiana, probably much closer than you think. For smaller crowd sizes, visit us during the months of May or June. For more information, visit our website at holidayworld.com.
Holiday World and Splash and Safari, number one for family fun, now open daily.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
The information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
There's a new world coming, and it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming. This one's coming to an end. There's a new voice calling, and you can hear it if you try. And it's growing stronger with every day that passes by. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to Wayne Smith. He is a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy. He's joining us from Washington, D.C., and we're talking about the United States policy with Cuba. And Wayne Smith, welcome back.
A pleasure.
We were talking about, okay, the world does not embrace the same policy towards Cuba as the United States does. It appears that at least 38 states have signed on to trying to change the agricultural trade policies with that are different than what this administration would want us to have. What about Congress? What's the state of Congress? Are they split? Are they moving away from the policies of this administration towards Cuba?
Well, they were for a couple of years. 2003 and 2004. they came up with amendments to neutralize travel controls. And they had a good majority. But the leadership, the Republican leadership in the Congress, simply jerked the amendments out in violation of the rules, I might say. And as they move closer, now to the elections, to the congressional elections, there's not a mood in the Congress to challenge the administration on this. I think after the elections, we'll see it again. We'll see a strong move in
after the midterm elections.
Yeah, the midterm elections, ones coming up in November. After those elections are over, let's say early next year, I think we'll begin to see movement in the Congress again, reflecting the interest and the will of the agricultural states and of various other interest groups who simply don't see our Cuba policy as making any sense, not serving the interest of the majority in the United States.
Why has it been so difficult to normalize relationship with Cuba when you see China, our relationship with China have been normalized? In fact, Newt Gingrich is over in China trying to hook up deals.
Exactly. I mean, Bush says we can't have travel to Cuba because that would help Castro remain in power. Well, I don't, in fact, think it would help all that much, but if we can allow Americans to travel freely to China and to Vietnam, for goodness sake,
can you believe Rumsfeld,
why not to Cuba?
Rumsfeld is in, and this is just not a surreal moment. I don't know what a surreal moment is. Rumsfeld in Vietnam right now.
Right, exactly. Rumsfeld in Vietnam and Karen Hughes saying that our best instrument is people-to-people contacts everywhere but Cuba. Why not in Cuba? I said in the first op-ed I wrote in the New York Times after I left the Foreign Service in disgust, was that Cuba seems to have the same effect on American administrations that the full moon used to have on werewolves. Simply can't react to it in a rational way, and I think that's still the case. We have this complex. Cuba, a little island to our south that we always seem to believe should become part of the Union, that we should control, or later on it was just a place where Americans could go and get drunk on the weekends, and that's the way things ought to be. Well, the Cubans have turned all that around since 1959. They're off on their own, and there are a lot of American political leaders who simply aren't willing to accept that fact.
It just seems so deeply, inexplicably personal.
Absolutely.
You know, it really is. It's kind of like that insane statement that George W. Bush made. Saddam Hussein tried to kill my daddy, so we need to go and preemptively strike them. It's that same inexplicable insanity.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's not Cuba, immediately after 9/11, expressed its solidarity with the American people. They opened their skies to any American planes caught in the air when we closed our own airspace, signed all 12 UN anti-terrorist resolutions, offered to sign the bilateral agreement with us to cooperate against terrorism, and we simply ignored all that. We rebuffed it. I mean, they were open, in other words, to engagement and to cooperation. And we rejected it.
And not only are we having the world, again, trading with Cuba, we're having the states trying to create a relationship with them as well. Cuba is also busy about the business of opening embassies all over the world.
Well, yeah, no, as I say, Cuba has full diplomatic relations with 172 countries. There are 93 diplomatic missions in Cuba. That is, not all the countries they have diplomatic relations with maintain missions. Oh, and by the way, on the matter of interest sections, the U.S. interest section in Havana is also supposedly
that's our
the Swiss embassy.
Embassy.
That's an entire fiction. The U.S. interest section in Cuba, as the Cuban interest section here in Washington, are embassies in all but name. They have virtually nothing to do with the Swiss embassies that they're supposed to be part of. The only difference between being an interest section in these cases and an embassy is that they don't fly the flag and they don't call the chief ambassador.
Right, they call him first secretary.
No, they call him Chief of Mission.
Chief of Mission. Now, in also, the when we talk about this being personal, it is about the personality of and the continued existence of Fidel Castro.
Well, absolutely. Look, I think a lot of American political leaders see it. Here is a little pipsqueak. Well, he may be 6'3", but his country isn't, who has defied us and often jeered at us.
And outlived
and
us.
And got away with it.
And outlived us. And now he's outlived every president.
That's just unforgivable.
Mm-hmm. And that gets us back to the personality of this, or the personalness of this, as opposed to politics or economics of this.
Right. Absolutely. It would be in the interest economically of the United States to engage. It would be in our political interest as well. Not engaging with Cuba makes no sense if you look at it rationally. But this administration is not looking at it rationally, and I have to say that the past administrations haven't looked at it altogether rationally either, but this is the worst. This policy is absolutely the worst we've ever had.
And in terms of the, let me ask this question. I want to go to Cuba. Can I get there?
No. Well, it depends. You're a journalist. Journalists can travel, so you probably could. If you're an average American citizen, forget it. I'm an adjunct professor at Johns Hopkins University, and I run the Cuba Exchange Program there. We are in the process with a group called the Emergency Coalition to Defend Educational Travel. We're in the process now of filing suit against the federal government for cutting off these academic exchanges in blatant violation of the academic freedoms defined by the Supreme Court. So even in the cases of educational exchanges, the restrictions have become almost total, so that it's almost impossible to travel to Cuba. If you're a journalist, you may make it. There are a few other categories, but religious travel, for example, the federal government, the Bush administration.
Well, I need you to hold that thought because we have to take a break, but we'll come back to talk about religious travel. I'm talking to Wayne Smith. He's a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown, and we're talking about the United States-Cuban policy. Stay with us.
Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Been conspiracy hunting lately? This is Decent Guy Dunn. Tune in every Monday through Friday, midnight till 2 for The Conspiracy Hunter.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Moscow.
A Russian newspaper is reporting that leaders in Moscow are trying to set up a permanent naval operation in Syria. By doing so, Russia would have a strategic location on the Mediterranean Sea. Construction work is said to be underway to deepen the port facilities at Tartus and Lafakia. Russia's Black Sea Fleet is currently based in the Ukrainian port city of Sevastopol, but it may have to leave there when its lease expires in about 10 years. Tartus has already been a supply point for the Russian navies for the past 40 years. A new facility in Syria would receive protection from a long-range air defense system to be installed by Russia, which would also shield most of Syria. This development could have a significant impact on the situation that's developing over the Iranian nuclear program by enabling Iranian leaders to feel less compelled to stop their development efforts because Russia would be seen as being on their side. And Dateline Baghdad. The U.S. military is sending psychiatrists into the portions of Iraq where troops are encountering the most intense combat. The military says it's more effective to send doctors into the combat zones to administer therapy to combat stressed troops rather than to remove the troops from their environment. This appears to be a direct result of recent reports, of the slaughtering of innocent civilians by American forces. A psychiatrist operating in Iraq says the soldiers who are treated gather in a tent to watch movies and eat burgers and fries in an effort to kick back to a civilian lifestyle, if only for a few days, to get away from the war. In one sector known as the Triangle of Death, 400 out of 1,000 troops have been treated for mental or emotional anxiety. A recent government study found that less than 25% of new veterans who show indications of PTSD get referrals for further help. And the GAO has also indicated there's no way to tell that those who do need additional therapy will ever get it. This is your Wake-Up Call Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com, and I'm just thrilled to be able to tell you that an average of 90 people who met on eHarmony.com get married every single day. 90 people every day.
When I first met him, I knew.
I knew she was someone I wanted to spend the rest of my life with.
At eHarmony.com, every match you receive has been carefully selected to be compatible with you based on 29 dimensions crucial for a thriving long-term relationship.
eHarmony matches you at a deeper level.
It's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Dating sites match on a picture and a paragraph. At eHarmony, we match you at the deepest levels, and it simply works. To the tune of 90 people who fall in love and get married every single day. So if you're looking for the love of your life, log on to eHarmony.com. Get your compatibility profile, a $50 value, free. eHarmony.com.
The summer sizzle is in full swing, and that means potential for poor air quality in our region. You can help keep our air clean just by sharing the ride to work, brown bagging lunch, or turning up the thermostat at home. You can reduce the amount of harmful ozone emissions in our air and help thousands of St. Louisans breathe easier. The everyday choices you make can go a long way towards improving the region's air quality. To learn what else you can do to show you care about clean air, visit cleanair-stlewis.com or call the American Lung Association at 314-645-5505. Something for you to breathe easier from Radio Free St. Louis.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I got something I want to talk about. Y'all let me hear. The time has come to end my feelings. Yeah. There's just so much confusion going down.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of things that we're talking about. Our guest this hour is Wayne Smith. He is the senior fellow at the Center for International Policy. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about the United States-Cuban policy. And on our way out, Wayne, you were talking about the policy that we have towards a religious travel, the restrictions on religious travel as well.
Yeah, this makes absolutely no sense, but the United States is now denying licenses to various religious groups and individuals who want to travel to Cuba to have contact with religious groups down there, and denying visas to Cuban religious groups trying to come up to the States. Principally, this is focused on the National Council of Churches in Cuba. The administration doesn't want to give them visas, and they don't want people to go down there and talk to them, because the National Council of Churches is regarded as too close to the government. In fact, it isn't. It's a religious entity, but they do have to obey the law and follow the rules. But does that make any sense at all to try to cut back on exchanges, or not exchanges, but on the travel of Cuban religious persons and U.S. religious leaders trying to go down there? Just, it's absolutely absurd.
Now, how has the presence of Guantanamo impacted our relationship with Cuba?
Well, look, Guantanamo was not a major issue between the United States and Cuba until we established the prison down there. We, under the old base agreement, it can only be changed or abrogated with the consent of both parties. So while the Cubans consistently said that we should leave, they had no right under the treaty to demand that we leave. But by establishing this prison at Guantanamo, we have blatantly violated the treaty, which states that it can, the territory there in Guantanamo can only be used for coaling and naval facilities, not for anything else. Not to build a prison, not to open up grocery stores or anything of the sort, but only for naval facilities. So we're in violation of the treaty, and the Cubans are demanding we leave. And it puts us in a very strange position where we criticize Cuba for violations of the civil rights of its people and so forth, and yet here we are down at the other end of the island accused of, and not only accused, but, I mean, we have been abusing prisoners. So it puts us in a very uncomfortable position.
In terms of where Americans can weigh in on this issue, what is to be done to change the policy of our current policy towards Cuba?
Well, I think to speak out, write your congressman, demand a change of policy.
What would the average...
More Americans have to speak up. Look, the problem is, I think polls indicate that the overwhelming majority of Americans think the Cuba policy is wrong, is stupid, but it's not anything that impacts on their daily lives, by and large. So they tend to say, oh, it's stupid, but there's nothing we can do about it. They can. They can do so by speaking up.
Is there an argument to be made that paying attention to what happens in Cuba can result in more jobs for Americans?
Well, yeah, in terms of agricultural sales and all sorts of things that we could be selling to Cuba, yes, it would help our economy. I mean, it's not a matter of this is not a country of, you know, 300 million people, but it would have some impact. Let me, if I could break in a minute, let me make a point. I've been reflecting on our conversation. There are other countries, European countries particularly, which have their disagreements with Cuba over the questions of civil rights, respecting the civil rights of its people. And we also would like to see Cuba show greater respect for the civil rights of its people, free all political prisoners, and so forth. But this is not the way to do it. Given that the United States is the traditional threat to Cuban sovereignty and independence, the more we threaten, the more we pressure, the more defensively the Cuban government will react, and the worse will be the atmosphere for any improvement in those fields. The best thing we could do would be to relax tensions, begin to engage, indicate we have no hostile intentions towards Cuba, and try to encourage them to move in the right direction. But we're not going to do it this way. This is totally counterproductive.
And with respect to President Fidel Castro, if Fidel Castro, who's 80 years old, if he were to pass away tomorrow, would that have an impact on how the business in Cuba is done? I mean, is it reasonable to expect that there's going to be any kind of sea change in how things are done in Cuba? From the Cuban perspective.
I don't think that there would be a sea change. I think that when Castro passes from the scene, as he inevitably will.
As we all do.
As we all do. That you will see a collective transitional leadership. It may move ahead with some reforms and so forth. It may move in a slightly different direction. But basically, it will maintain the socialist system that they have now.
So it is not Fidel Castro.
No, it's not just Fidel Castro by any means. I begin to suspect, however, that when Fidel Castro passes from the scene and George Bush leaves the White House, that it will be easier for American administrations to come to terms, to begin to deal with Cuba. Castro is, as I was saying earlier, a very meddlesome figure. He has defied us and got away with it.
But I live in a country where the guy in the White House is saying, bring it on, and preemptively striking other sovereign nations. You know?
Well, that's why I said, not only when Fidel Castro leaves, but when George Bush leaves the White House. I don't think anything is possible in terms of improvement with Cuba as long as George Bush is in the White House.
And that's going to have to be our last word. Where can we go? What's your email or your website information?
wsmith@ciponline.org.
Very good. Wayne Smith,
okay,
Senior
pleasure.
Fellow at the Center for International Policy. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, when we come back, we're going to be talking about, the Federal Reserve and why it's a ripoff. Stay with me.
To you were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger.
I don't know anyone believes this has a snowball's chance.
San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom with his two cents on the issue today in Washington. Gay marriage. The Senate begins debate on a proposed constitutional ban on it. The president outlines his reasons why he wants the amendment, but some of those closest to the president may not agree with him.
The public is divided. Half of Americans, 51%, oppose legalizing gay marriage. And not even everyone at the White House agrees. The first lady seeming to warn her husband against playing politics.
Well, I don't think it should be used as a campaign tool, obviously.
And Mary Cheney, the vice president's daughter, told Diane Sawyer her father flatly objects to the constitutional ban.
ABC News senior national correspondent Claire Shipman. More than 50 National Guards members are on duty along the Arizona-Mexico border today. It's the start of a two-week mission to free up immigration agents. They'll extend fences, improve gravel roads, and work on border lighting. It's not uncommon for the State Department to lock horns with the Pentagon over policy, but this beef is getting a lot of attention.
Over State Department objections, the Pentagon's decided to drop a key part of the Geneva Convention, which bans humiliating and degrading treatment of detainees, from its guidelines for soldiers. According to the LA Times, the goal is to balance humane treatment with effective interrogation. Critics say it could lead to more abuses like Abu Ghraib. But administration officials argue after 9/11, things changed in dealing with terrorists who don't play by the rules.
ABC's Pam Coulter in Washington. This is the 25th anniversary of the discovery of AIDS. Five gay California men with a rare kind of pneumonia mentioned in a government report. Millions have since died, but new developments in medication are helping those who have HIV live longer, healthier lives. Like Dr. Tim Coates, director of the UCLA program in global health.
I'm still living, and I'm now 61 years old, living and thriving and having a great life. And I think that kind of defines what the epidemic has been like for a lot of us.
ABC News.
There's an energy crisis in my house. The kids have too much, my husband and I barely enough. You see, they're in a let's hide things for mommy phase. So I'm late for work and there's only one brown shoe in my closet. I need my Carnation Instant Breakfast.
With twice the calcium of yogurt and 21 vitamins and minerals, Carnation Instant Breakfast has the complete nutrition you need to get going. Even on a Monday.
Oh, boy. Kids, where'd you put the cat?
No! Nestle Carnation Instant Breakfast. Serious morning fuel.
Big during Digital Camera Week at Office Depot. Receive an Office Depot gift card of up to $50 with the purchase of select digital cameras. Office Depot has all the top brands, including Canon, Nikon, Sony, Kodak, Olympus, and HP. So hurry into Office Depot for big savings during Camera Week and get ready for summer memories. Gift card amount based on 10% of camera price, $50 maximum.
If you've booked a reservation on Hotels.com, you want to pay attention to this. A laptop connected to the popular vacation website is missing, and it may contain personal information on thousands of customers' credit card numbers, names, and addresses.
The information was stored on a laptop belonging to an employee of Ernst & Young. That's a company that provides auditing services to Hotels.com. The crime appears to be a random theft, says Ernst & Young in a statement. At this time, we have no indication the information has been accessed or misused in any way.
ABC's Dan Harris. They can build them, but they may not be as good as the original. Two cloned mules came in third and seventh, respectively, at a race over the weekend in Nevada, but it was a first. And Charlene Cooper of the Idaho Horse Council says it's pretty exciting.
It's beyond belief that actually they got two of these clones together to race to win. It's more than amazing.
A mule, by the way, is a cross between a horse and a donkey. I'm Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Here's a WGNU News update brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. Beginning today, motorists traveling over the Poplar Street Bridge will see some major delays. Debbie Allen, a spokesperson for MoDOT, says lane closures will be in place while crews work to overlay the bridge.
We're removing and replacing the existing surface with a newer surface.
One lane in each direction will be closed at all times, and a second lane will be closed during off-peak hours. Allen says people need to plan ahead and consider alternate routes like the MLK, Eads, or Chain of Rock Bridge. The work should be completed by Labor Day. In other news, Governor Matt Blunt will be in St. Louis this afternoon to sign a bill creating mandatory minimum sentences for child sexual predators. The law will require a life sentence with a minimum of 30 years served for forcible rape or forcible sodomy when the victim is under the age of 12. It contains an emergency clause, which means the bill will go into effect immediately. And South St. Louis residents, business people, and community leaders are rallying to keep Cleveland High School open. The Alliance to Save Cleveland High will kick off its campaign at 10 o'clock this morning. Cleveland is facing closure because the building is deteriorating. It houses the city's junior naval ROTC program. And finally, a new playground in Chesterfield will allow children of all abilities to play together. Jim Foley, a spokesperson for Faust Park, says the playground features specialized equipment to accommodate children in wheelchairs.
A child in a wheelchair can roll up to a transfer station and get onto much of the play equipment, or we have a section of the playground for smaller children, like, you know, 2 to 6-year-olds.
He says the playground has only metal slides, which is good for hearing-impaired children whose cochlear implants can be damaged by the static electricity created from plastic or fiberglass slides. And that's a WGNU News update for this hour, brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Roaches recognize their friends by their odor. Do they like your smell? Call the Orkin Man. He's been fighting roach invasions for over 100 years. Protect your home. Protect your family. For help, call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. I'm Peyton Colston reporting for WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive. And in both directions, 170 between Olive and Page, look for road construction. Right lanes closed. Traffic jammed at 70. Southbound 94 at Weldon Spring. And 40, look for an accident. Investigation work is all underway, and all southbound lanes are closed. Traffic is using northbound to get by. Southbound traffic is slowing near O'Fallon Road. Westbound 70 between Lucas and Hunt, look for no problems. A report of an earlier disabled vehicle. Northbound 270 at 44 has returned back to normal. All your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect no delays this hour. And there are various construction sites going on throughout the area. Just use your caution and slow down. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Drive into Sonic Tuesday nights for half-price burgers. That's right. Get unlimited classic Sonic burgers for half the price from 5 p.m. till close on Tuesday. It's not just good. It's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies today. High in the mid-80s this evening. Partly cloudy. Chance of showers with a low in the lower 60s. For Tuesday, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy throughout the day. A chance for showers again, a high around 80. Then on Wednesday, partly sunny, a chance of showers with a high in the lower 80s. Currently, we have partly cloudy skies and 70 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 70 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's Mondays at 9. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Danny Glover, and you're listening to the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound. That's the below knee.
In this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I think I'm hearing revolution, the anthem, the brother.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back, and welcome to Mondays at 9. Today we're going to be taking a look at the Federal Reserve System. I don't know of an American out there that doesn't have three words in their mental Rolodex. But I doubt very seriously, if you look very deeply, that any American that knows the Federal Reserve System knows anything about it. How it works, why it's there, who thunk it up. Most Americans don't know. And I don't know. As I'm looking at newspapers today, as I'm looking at the state of our economy today, as I think I am not alone. Many of us out here are really, really, really trying to do the best that we can with the little bit of money that we're getting nowadays. So I think we all need to embrace our responsibilities and really take a global look at how this thing called money works. And we're going to do that this morning on Mondays at 9. We're going to be talking about how the Federal Reserve System works and whether or not it actually doesn't work. And worse than that, it may even rip you off. Our guest to facilitate this conversation is Roland Manarin. He's an investment counselor and educator. He's joining us from Omaha, Nebraska. Roland, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Very good. It's good to have you here. Can we start with just Federal Reserve System 101? What is the Federal Reserve System?
It's pretty much a central bank. But number one, Liz, it's not federal. There are no reserves, and it's not a system. So it's a major hoax on the American people perpetrated by those who ran the country back in 1913 and pretty much still do.
Well, let's go back to 1913. How was it put in place? Why was it put in place?
Well, there's an awesome book called The Creature from Jekyll Island, written by G. Edward Griffin. I recommend your listeners get on the Internet and order that book. The Creature from Jekyll Island, and it'll give you all the details. Essentially, Liz, they created a money cartel, a cartel among bankers. And when this started, a man's labor for a month was $20, and he had a wife with a dozen kids at home. Then along comes the Federal Reserve, and now what's a man's labor for a month, and his wife has to work. So we've gone a long way down the wrong path. And the whole time, the public has no clue.
So in 1913, this entity was created. What were we told were the reasons for its creation?
We were actually told that it was created to break the money cartel by, say, J.P. Morgan and the other robber barons who controlled the big banks. In fact, it was just the opposite. It was a big ruse, but where the folks need to understand today is we are told from day one that we ought to save money. Now, I'm an investment advisor, and that's how I got into this understanding the Federal Reserve. And essentially, Liz, if I tell you or your listeners, hey, would you, if I tell you of a good stock guaranteed to lose your money, how many shares would you buy? Would you buy some?
Of course, nobody would.
Nobody would. But that's, in fact, what happens when people put money into a CD or a bond. When you buy a bond or a guaranteed annuity or a CD, you are guaranteed to lose your buying power over the long term. So if I, as a rookie stockbroker, figured this out, and my clients would say, gee, Roland, I want something safe. And I say, like what? Oh, like municipal bonds. And I say, well, if I tell you of a good stock guaranteed to lose your money, how many shares would you buy? And they'd laugh and say, none. I said, well, look over your shoulder.
Well, how is that? Explain.
Well, the Federal Reserve is in charge of creating money. When you, over a period of, say, 10 years, double the money supply, and let's assume the goods and services go sideways, the price of these goods and services will have doubled. The global free market will divide the number of goods and services by the quantity of money out there. When you double the money supply without doubling goods and services, you double the price.
Well, how is the Federal Reserve able to double the money supply?
Real easy. They've got the printing press. They just do it.
So when the Federal Reserve was created, one of the jobs or one of the responsibilities that it was given was to be able to print the money.
Yeah. Who knows whether it was created for good reasons or bad reasons, but those in power maintain power, and it corrupts.
Well, what are the things that the Federal Reserve Bank can do?
It controls the quantity of money.
Okay. It
controls the overnight price of money. So these interest rate hikes that you've heard about now for the last, 15 months or 2 years, that's the only thing they can do in terms of interest rates. What they do in the meantime, let's talk about perceptions. The perceptions have been by the media that the Fed has been tight, right? They've been tightening by raising those overnight rates. Isn't that what everybody's telling you on the TV?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The reality is they've been host to one of the widest expansions of the money supply I've ever seen.
How so?
The total quantity of money, call it M2, M3, has just grown enormously. Now, there's a good side to this. As an investor, I'm going, whoopee, there's going to be a major economic boom out there. And, of course, we're in the middle of it. Unemployment is incredibly low. Jobs are booming. We're at record on just about everything. And that's part of the reason. But the consequences over the long term is more inflation. So I suppose one way to look at it, the good news is, we'll all be driving $100,000 cars. They'll be called Ford or Toyota.
One of the points that you make is that inflation is actually caused by the Federal Reserve System.
Yes, plain and simply, black and white. There's no and if or buts about it. Throughout the pages of history, those who create or control money create inflation. You double the money supply, you double inflation. You shrink the money supply like they did from 1929 to 33, you create a depression. So it's that simple. So Ben Bernanke, the new guy, is, in my opinion, far more intelligent than the previous one. He actually wrote about the depression, and in my opinion, it was correct. So we have a good steward in charge of this, but let's see what happens.
But he also believes in the same system that rips you off, right?
Well, yeah, they're part of it, but at least he understands how it runs.
Well, so one of the other statements that you made, and then one of the other arguments that you make is that the Federal Reserve charges interest on money that doesn't exist.
Well, kind of. They create the money and charge interest on it. They do reimburse the Treasury for the excess interest that they earn on the money they've created. But that doesn't change the fact that we, the people, believe, 99 out of 100, if not more, people believe that putting their personal savings into currency equivalent units, such as a CD or a bond, is a safe place. Well, that's wrong. It's number one, guaranteed to lose your buying power. Number two, it could become worthless overnight if the house of cards crashes.
So what is fractional reserve banking? What is that?
When you deposit a dollar in the bank, back in 1913 when the Fed was created, it allowed the bank to lend it it told the bank, keep 1/6 of your reserves, of your deposits in reserve. Well, the bankers, being a little smarter than the average Joe, put the entire dollar in the reserve column and went out and loaned $6.
Off that one.
Off that one. All right, now today I called a banker recently and I said, what's your average reserve requirement now? He said 3%. So when you deposit $1,000 in your bank, he can lend it out $33,000 based on what's going on. And where's that money come from? Out of the clear blue. There's your engine of inflation, Liz. It's the Federal Reserve.
So if CDs are a problem, if bonds are a problem, if annuities are a problem, what's the answer?
You've got to be an owner with your capital. It's throughout the pages of history, not just now. You've got to be an owner. You can own land, brick, mortar, a good business, or a piece of a good business. And that, of course, is called common stocks. So for as long as common stocks have existed, 300-400 years, they have been the highest returning asset class out there. Unfortunately, most people gamble, They jump in at the highs and bail out at the lows. What I told my father 30 years ago, I said, Papa, you're going to lose money 2-3 times per decade. Those are opportunities. This is a yo-yo climbing a flight of stairs. So cross your arms, let time go by, and you win. And that's exactly what's happened. So I diversify among an enormous number of companies. I hire the best professionals that I can find for diversification.
So the market, the housing market today,
yeah,
is it a good time to jump into it?
No, not as an investment. I think it's a terrible investment. If you have to have a house, right now is probably the best time in 3 years to buy them. There, most markets, the house prices have been going down. But it's not an investment. As you over the 20, 30 years, your house is worth the same as it was 30 years ago, plus inflation. So it's not an investment. It's a good place to live.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's our number here. Ex-Peter, do you have a question for our guest, Roland Mannerin?
Yeah, Mr. Manor, how are you this morning?
I'm awesome.
You know, I got a question. Now, you made a statement that the banks don't actually have cash there. And I would say, if they don't, when you go to get a loan for a mortgage or when you use a credit card, there's no actual cash being transferred. So why do you have to pay them money back?
Well, try not paying it back and see what happens. You know,
Thanks, Peter. What I'm suggesting
is learn the rules. Play to win, and that's what I'm sharing with you.
So then what are the rules?
Well, the rules are you accumulate your wealth through ownership and take advantage of the lenders. You know, if I ask you, Liz, would you borrow money at 5% to earn 10?
Yeah.
There you go. So get a biggest mortgage you can and invest it. Cross your arms and ignore it. You're going to pay an average of less than 5% after taxes. And if you do a decent job of diversification, you'll earn 10 or more. And that's what I've been doing for 30 years, and it works.
So in terms of the average person out there, they may not think that they have the ability to invest like that. What advice would you give them?
When I first started, I hardly had a window or a pot, okay? And when I learned this money game, and I was under enormous pressure, My dad would, every time I go visit, he would say, so what do we do with my savings, Mr. College Smart Guy? And I was terrified because I sure as heck didn't want to lose his money. Anyway, as the puzzle came together, I bought for him a mutual fund of common stocks that was geopolitically diversified, very conservatively run. I said, Papa, this thing's going to yo-yo up a flight of stairs. And here it is 30 years later, Papa's gone, but I still own that fund. But the first thing that I did, Liz, is I went and got a mortgage on my house. I had a little bit of equity. I went and took it out, and I bought the same fund. And then I thought about it for about a month, and I went to the banker, and I said, how about lending me some money, second mortgage? And so I went to 100%, and I invested that into the same fund, as long as you can afford the payments. Now, then I encountered a situation where we couldn't afford the payments. So what I did is I borrowed some more money. Now, this, keep in mind, this is when the market was down. Market had taken a 20% correction, so I thought it was an opportunity. I went and got a note, and interest payable only for 2 years, and every 90 days I would withdraw from the investment enough to make that interest payment. That's how I began to build my wealth. OPM, other people's money. It still works today, and it will always work, but you got to have a 5 to 10 year perspective. You can't do this with short-term mentality.
Well, that's pretty much the challenge in modern-day mindset, isn't it? This microwave worldview that we have of instant everything.
Instant gratification. It just doesn't work in the financial world. I recently spoke at a 401k sort of a get-together. An employer asked me to come in and speak. 60% of their money was in money market accounts. That's ridiculous. You know, you guys with 401ks, put it all to work. Buy the best funds in that group or diversify if you don't know.
And where do, I mean, if a person is understanding what you're saying in terms of the diversification advice, where do people go to, do they trust their gut to find out where they should go to diversify?
Well, that's a problem. That's a serious problem because their gut is based on perception, and that is fed to you by the media. You're going to go wrong. So there's You can get an idea of what I'm doing because I do it free. It's on Mannerin.com. They can see my mutual fund, Lifetime Achievement Fund. It's right there. You can see everything I own. You can parallel it or buy it.
And in terms of other places where people can go, what advice would you give to someone if they're saying, okay, I do want to do the divestment. I really want to do that. Do I begin? What are the questions that I ask?
Most 401ks, Liz, have a decent selection. So get a hold of what's called the style boxes and get a fund for each one of them. There's 9 of them. And that's about the best thing I can do without actually looking at the choices mm-hmm. and specifically recommending them. It is better to be broadly diversified and then cross your arms and let it go than to be in a money market account, which is unfortunately what most people are doing.
Robert, do you have a question for Roland Mannerin?
Yes. What is your opinion on precious metals or gold?
Thank you, Robert.
Robert. Great question. The very first thing I did for my father, this is in 1976, I said, Papa, Jimmy Carter is destroying the economy. You better get some gold. So I was the first one that I know of in this industry to buy gold, but not to make money, Robert. I bought it as a hedge, as insurance. And I've maintained a percentage in my portfolios of gold ever since. Now, I recommend a handful of 10-ounce coins, maybe $1,000, $2,000 worth, stash them at home. And then as of your portfolio, if you have $100,000, then I recommend you put $7,000 of that into a mutual fund of gold mining companies. If you have $1 million, put $70,000. If you have $10 million, put $700,000 in a mutual fund of gold mining shares. There's a couple of good ones, OCM Gold. There's Franklin Gold. I own both of those. Those are good funds. And buy them not to make money. Buy them as insurance.
So when you use the word hedge, when you say we're doing that as a hedge, you're saying what?
A hedge is a fancy word for insuring your portfolio,
okay.
Protecting it. So if it hits the fan, gold goes up always. Like in 2002 here a few years ago, my portfolio actually went up. I'm talking my overall large portfolio, went up for a few months while everybody else was crashing because the gold mining shares rocketed in the face of the impending global doom and gloom, which didn't happen, of course. So I made a lot of money, and as that slice of the pie grew, I sold and diversified. So I try to maintain it at 7%. And when gold goes down, I buy a little. When it goes up, I sell a little. So I keep it as a hedge just in case it hits the fan tonight.
And we will continue our conversations. This is Mondays at 9. I'm Liz Brown. We're talking to Roland Mannerin, an investment counselor, educator. We're talking about how the Federal Reserve System rips you off, what you should be doing. He's joining us from Omaha, Nebraska. We'll be back. Stay with us.
About moving, think Allstate. If you're looking for some cheap flyby night, this is not the place to call. If you're looking for first-class service in local and long-distance moving, Allstate is the only choice. Celebrating 77 years of service to St. Louis and the nation. Allstate's Transworld Van Lines, 314-389-6200. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm John Womack. I'm the host of On the Table, a program about food and wine and enjoying yourself every Tuesday at noon. So tune in here on WGNU, 920 AM.
Does your life need to be energized? Are you in need of some direction and clarity? Is your stuff dragging you down?
Tune into Sort It Out with Lori and Claire, Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. We'll help you find the courage to make a change in your life.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio, Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And for those that should be heard, this is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Mondays at 9. My name is Liz Brown. My guest this morning on Mondays at 9 is Roland Manarin. He is an investment counselor. He's an educator. He's joining us from Omaha, Nebraska, and we're talking about how the Federal Reserve System rips you off, what you should be doing about your money. And Roland, isn't money one of the things that is so interesting that people will talk to each other about sex, but they won't talk to each other about money?
You're right. You go to a party and you'll hear them talking about their sex life long before you ever hear them seriously tell you about what's going on with their money.
Why is that? Why is that?
I don't know. I like both.
454-0400 is my phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Dr. Gerald Higginbotham, good morning.
Yes. Good morning. Roland.
Good morning, sir.
You are absolutely correct about Jekyll Island and the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
It's a privately owned bank, the Federal Reserve, and it's owned by folks out of international bankers.
Yeah.
And there's a... Your audience could get the Monopoly Man, which is a well-done documentary on it. And Liz, I at my training center, I show this video to those that want to see it, that will empower them to really be in the know how to bring about a change and make a difference. So you're right, Liz. I'm so proud of you that you're putting the information out there because people need to know.
Thank you so much. 454-0400 is the phone number, or our long-distance toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. And please don't forget that we are broadcasting live. We're streamed on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net. And also, I am iPodded at WhiteRoseSociety.org and also archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you've missed an hour of the show, you can go get it at WhiteRoseSociety.org. And let me get to another caller or two. Lorenzo, you have a question for our guest, Roland Manarin. Lorenzo.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
I was trying to get some information, please. I just got back from France, and the dollar euro is doing very, very poor, the worst I've ever seen in many times I've been there. You give them $100 of our money, and they give you $72 in euro. What's your take on that, and what's your opinion on that? Or what should we do?
Thank you.
Well, I think purchasing power parity eventually goes back to neutral, i.e., if your a cup of coffee costs you $2 here, eventually it'll cost you the equivalent of $2 over there. And right now, in my opinion, the dollar has been oversold. So a couple years ago, when it was worse than now, I moved money actually from Europe over to America. So don't gamble in that area because we don't control it. It's controlled by the big boys, so common sense doesn't work. But in the long run, purchasing power parity will reestablish itself. And I think I was just over there, and I thought, same as you did, it's a little bit oversold. I think the dollar will not drop substantially more.
1-877-920-WGNU. Yes, Korean veteran.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Brown, and to your guest. I would like to ask him, I hear what he's saying about the Federal Reserve, but when it comes down to making money off of investments on money market CDs or bonds, the thing is you're investing to try to make money. In view of Enron and all the others that have collapsed in the way these insiders have been managing, I want to know, FDIC, Federal Insurance Corp, is a good way to protect what you do have. Could he answer that?
You betcha. A good question. You avoid the Enron collapses and the other ripoffs out there by broadly diversifying. As a rookie stockbroker in this industry, indeed trained by a company in your hometown there, the more I learned, the more I realized how little I knew. And before I told my father finally what to do with his money, I did an enormous amount of studying. And I wound up diversifying not just into one mutual fund of common stocks, but into many. So when Enron collapsed, my portfolio didn't even blip. So you've got to be an owner. Let me share with you the philosophy of money. Your money, my money, anybody's money. Three things you can do with it. Spend it, lend it, or be an owner. If you spend it, we can't help you build wealth. If you lend your money, you're going to buy your FDIC insured whatever, which is only guaranteed to lose your buying power. You can lend it to a municipality. When you buy a municipal bond or you buy a corporate bond, you're lending them your money. Nobody that I know of, Liz, nobody you know of, has ever built or maintained wealth lending his or her money. Between taxes, inflation, and time, it's always been a guaranteed loss of purchasing power. Only through ownership can you build or maintain wealth. I don't care how far back you go, 5,000 years, you've got to be an owner to build or maintain wealth. The safest way that I know of is to diversify it among the best companies in the world, and I hire the best managers I can find to select those companies.
Well, the observation that the Korean veteran also made was the idea of this is to make money.
Exactly. So when you buy an FDIC a CD, what? Between inflation and taxes, you're going backwards. Think about it. 20 years, or when Reagan became president, everybody thinks inflation ended when he stopped Carter's inflation. Sure, you retired back then with $100,000 and a gold watch. The interest would have bought you a brand new Lincoln. Today, you still got your $100,000 because it is insured and guaranteed, but the interest buys you a nice set of wheels and tires. Hello?
All right, 1-877-920-WGNU. That is our number here. Dimitri, good morning. You have a question for our guest, Roland Mannering.
Yes, I do, Liz. Mr. Mannering, I get weary of people like you who base your life on the assumption that everyone wants to get wealthy. There are many people in the world who are not greedy or content to live in a lifestyle in which their main preoccupation is not greed and wealth. Why do you assume that everybody wants to become wealthy? I don't understand that. Thank
Good.
You.
Well, all right. Thanks for asking. It's very simple. Money won't buy you happiness, but neither does poverty. So you have your choice.
And is it about becoming wealthy? Is it about becoming economically secure? And isn't that part of the I don't know, the schizophrenia that goes on with Americans' relationship with money. Because we as Americans have seen the Enrons. We've seen what people, we've seen Exxon making, sending, you know, making all of the money, more profit than a corporation's ever made in the history of corporations. We've seen that part of it, and we am, in America, oftentimes, the virtue is attached to not having a whole lot of money. And that's kind of schizophrenic, isn't it?
Liz, it just doesn't change. It's that way throughout the pages of history. When you study money, that doesn't change. Power corrupts, whether it's in politics or many times, obviously, in high places like Enron. But that has nothing to do with the average person on the street. I built my career by helping folks. I did not chase the country club crowd. So I helped mom and pop build wealth. Give you an example, teachers doing their 403B. I've got a ton of retired teachers now with seven figures. An iron worker, seven figures. And he did it monthly by accumulating pre-tax and after-tax. It just, building wealth isn't done with luck or brilliance. It's done with time, discipline, and the knowledge of what money must do to achieve goals. What has that got to do with what your previous caller talked about? You know, if you argue for your limitations, I assure you, they will be yours.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on Mondays at 9.
Mm. Yes, Mr. Mandarin. Russ heard yesterday, federal spending in the last 5 years has gone up 37%. It dropped 6% during Clinton. The national debt has went up 47%. Do you regard that record as what it is, unparalleled in its devastation? And do you think Carter's record is worse than what I just said?
Thank you for your
president.
Question.
Well,
and that's Mandarin.
Mandarin. Mm-hmm. With Carter's policies, you wound up with 13% unemployment and inflation approaching the 20% rate. Destruction was around the corner if Reagan hadn't cleaned up the mess. In terms of the politics of today, this country's been run by the Democrats and the Republicans now for, what, 100 years. I don't care who's in charge. We go down that wrong path. I think your president right now is the best Democrat we've seen since Lyndon Johnson. So I'm sorry. I'm just not going to back either of the two outfits. I don't know if that answers the question or not, but in terms of what the Fed's doing, which was our subject, it's going to lead to an economic boom, so stay invested and you'll make good money over the next few years.
1-877-920-WGNU. This is Mondays at 9. I'm talking to Roland Mandarin, investment counselor and educator. He's joining us from Omaha, Nebraska. The Mandrake Mechanism. What is that?
I have no idea.
I've read, and this is from The Creature from Jekyll Island, that the Federal Reserve creates money out of nothing.
That's true. There's two ways they create money out of nothing. Number one, as we discussed, you deposit $1,000 at the banks, they turn around and lend it out 30 times. All right, that's out of the clear blue. That's called fractional reserve banking. The other way they create money out of the clear blue, the Fed direct, is by monetizing debt. When the Treasury pays the bills, what if they don't have the money? They can raise it by selling government bonds. When you do that, it's not inflationary. However, when the Treasury needs money to pay the bills and they say, hey, Fed, we need some money, and the Fed says, okay, print me up some Treasury bonds and we'll buy them from you with our magic checkbook, that is pure inflationary, and that's what's going on too. So between the two, that's how inflation is created.
We're talking to Roland Mandarin, investment counselor, educator from Omaha, Nebraska. I'm Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
This is a mission. begin to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Nairobi. The government of Kenya says it will remove fees it has been imposing on drugs that help fight the effects of AIDS. Observers say the 100 shilling fee on each dose is one reason why about two-thirds of those eligible to receive the medication are not getting it. But a large-scale food shortage in the country is now hurting AIDS patients' ability to tolerate the effects of those antiretroviral medications, and that could cause many people who need them to stop taking them. Kenya is in the worst drought East Africa has seen for over 10 years. Kenya also has too few trained healthcare workers to administer the drugs to patients, and there are large stocks of the antiretroviral drugs simply sitting in warehouses, some of which have gone out of date. And Dateline Washington. Remember that laptop computer that was stolen from a Veterans Affairs employee last month? Now it turns out that there was much more information contained on it than first reported. The Secretary of the Veterans Affairs Department now says that the names, Social Security numbers, and dates of birth of up to 20,000 National Guard and Reserve people who were on active duty were also on that computer, plus another 30,000 naval personnel who had finished their first enlistment term before 1991 were also on that hard drive. Earlier, the VA had said that information on over 26 million veterans who separated since 1975 were on the missing computer, which disappeared May 3rd. Veterans groups have been livid as to why it took 3 weeks to acknowledge the computer had gone missing. The data analyst who lost the computer has been fired, and his immediate supervisor has resigned. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
If you've ever wanted to hit the open road and chase the fading sun, then the Muscular Dystrophy Family Foundation has got your ticket to ride. 1,640 cc's, 100 horsepower, chrome, steel, and pure cool. From the coolest names in the chopper game. A one-of-a-kind with a street value over $75,000. And this summer, someone's going to win it. Why not you? Why not you? Log on to MDFF.org to learn more. MDFF.org. Live with no boundaries.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Mondays at 9. We're talking about the Federal Reserve System, how it rips you off, and what you should be doing to deal with that. My guest this morning is educator, investment counselor from Omaha, Nebraska, Roland Manarin. And, Roland, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
Let me get to a couple more questions here. Kathy, do you have a question?
Oh, hi, Liz. Yeah. Mr. Manarin, how regulated are direct deposits? I was curious. I know it goes through the Federal Reserve System as a clearinghouse, but this is in regards to how long, if a person is a contracted worker, can that company hold that money, or can they, if a certain date is on a particular statement, how long afterwards do they have to deposit into an account?
You know, those kind of details, I guess, I don't know, because it really doesn't affect my long-term investing.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you fundamentally, you don't put your nest egg money into anything that is regulated FDIC-type investment. That's about all I can share with you.
And that's bottom line.
That's the bottom line, yeah. The money you plan on spending in the next year or two, go ahead and leave it parked because you're going to spend it. But anything beyond a couple of years, put it to work.
Mm.
You know, in Matthew 25, the story of the talents tells you that. Two stewards who put the money to work, buying and selling, were rewarded. The third steward who buried his money was chastised. It was taken from him, and he was cast out. Same thing's going on right now.
You have a question about retirement accounts.
Yes. My question had to do, I've retired. I have a pension. I have maybe a little over $100,000 in savings. Should I get into the market? I've got most of it in a fixed annuity, and I'd like to know, should I get in the market? Because they say when you retire, you really shouldn't get in the market. So can I hold and hear the answer, or should I hang up, Liz?
I'm going to let you go, and you can listen for the answer.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, if you plan on living more than a few years, then it should be working for you. You need to move it over to the stock market through a handful of good mutual funds. Over the next 20, 30 years, same thing will happen as the last 20, 30 years. And there's always the possibility that the house of cards crashes. If that happens, your CDs, your guaranteed annuities become worth zero because they are claims on paper money.
Mm. So you should be moving it.
You should be moving it. When you own, say, 500 to 1,000 good companies through a handful of mutual funds, you don't own paper money. So if the big one hits and the dust settles and the new money comes out, you still own 500 to 1,000 good companies vis-a-vis a pile of worthless paper money. So in the long run, the safety or the price of safety is called short-term volatility. The yo-yo of the stock market goes uphill. And that's the way it's always been. That's the way it'll always be.
1-877-920-WGNU. And please don't forget that this show, along with all of the shows on the Wake Up Call, are archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. And it's also, my show is also iPodded at WhiteRoseSociety.org. The show is streamed at WGNU.net. Our toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-9468. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Eugene, you have a question for Roland Manarin?
Yes, I do. I'd like to ask him which he thinks is the better investment, treasury bonds or gold?
Oh, that's a good one.
Treasury bonds or gold? Just tell us the difference between those two.
Well, treasury bond is a claim on paper money, and gold is a claim on 5,000-year-old money, real money. So neither of them is an investment. Treasury bonds is what you do with money you plan on spending the next year or two. Gold is a hedge to protect your nest egg. So I bought treasury bonds when Alan Greenspan was messing with the Fed, and I thought he was going to create deflation. So if you can argue for deflation, put 10, 15% of your money in treasury, long-term treasury bonds. Otherwise, I don't own any of them today because I can't argue for deflation. Gold is not an investment. It's a hedge. It's insurance for your portfolio. So the question was, which is a better investment? The answer is neither is an investment. They're both hedge positions in my books.
Hedge positions.
And right now I don't recommend any bonds.
Deidre.
Yes.
Yes, you have a question for our guest, Roland Manarin.
Where do you purchase the gold?
How do you use
to research to actually purchase the gold? And if there is, are there any books or anything that he can suggest to read to pretty much put me on my way to purchase it?
Well, Barron's, the weekly journal, has a lot of ads in it for gold. So you can start there or get on Google.
And where can people find out more information about you, Roland?
Well, Manarin.com. That's Manarin.com is our website. I do a radio show, and you can listen to the last four ones on there as well. And then to see the investments where my money is, they can look up LifetimeAchievementFund.com. And that's where most of my money is.
Mr. Davis, do you have a question for Roland Mannerin?
Good morning, number one, Liz. I was going to ask Mr. Mannerin about China. I understand that the government, the United States government, is really in debt to China. And isn't China a communist country? And if they called in their debt, the United States would be in very bad shape and very bad condition. I would like to have him to answer that for me, please, Liz. Thank you.
That makes me smile, Liz, because China, in my opinion, is the next Enron. They're a disaster waiting to happen. Communists are running the show, and they're a disaster. They have no clue. They're ripping up the tracks behind them to lay in front of them, and there's wastage as they do that. One of these days they're going to hit a brick wall, probably not till after the Olympics. So I wouldn't worry about it. What are they going to do with those dollars? They're only good here in America. So if they sell them, the Treasury or the Fed will write a magic check, and that's the end of it. Not a concern. Their GDP is tiny compared to ours, and those in the media who say they're going to overpass us are the same idiots who said that Japan was going to pass us in 1989. So ignore China. Forget about them. Don't invest there. Accumulate America. It's the best place in the world.
In terms of the Federal Reserve System, who benefits from the fact that it doesn't, I mean, the way that it runs? We don't benefit from it. Who benefits from that?
The insiders, Liz, the people closest to it, are the ones who get the benefit. They get to buy stuff at today's prices. By the time it filters down to the public, inflation has set in. Inflation is a real problem. Even at 2 to 3%, it's going to wipe out half of your nest egg over the next 20 years. So the retired person who stays at guaranteed and insured will be clipping coupons and when they're 75 because they have to, versus diversifying their money into the businesses through good common stocks and through broad diversification, then they win. So,
well, that's going to have to be our last word. Roland Mannerin, investment counselor and educator, thank you so much for joining us this morning on Mondays at 9.
Always fun. Thank you, Liz.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Don't forget on Wednesday, Elon Harris. He's going to be joining us to talk about his book, I Say a Little Prayer. Oh, yeah, it's going to be good. So much good stuff coming at you. You don't want to miss it. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
Give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help.